It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 21st day of February, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes any and all times. So, also at HeadOn.live, you can go there and click on chat room and jump in and be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, or Daylight. I'm in a hurry, aren't I? That's not till next month. 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round. Hi, I'm Robin, and if you wander by right now, you will see, be immediately greeted by Anatole and Squeaky and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. So, here we are, I guess we mark the 21st day of February 2022 as the beginning of the worst war in, potentially the worst war in Europe since the close of the big one. Yeah. It's depressing news. And, you know, so far we are apparently committed to not wasting any American military blood on the conflict between Ukraine and Russia. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we begin with thanks going out to our 21st, 20th, and 19th day of the month subscribers over at PayPal. That means thank you, Karen, and thank you to Harold, President and CEO of Sochtris, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you so very kindly to Ralphs. Thank you to Dr. John in New Mexico. Thank you to Reverbo. Thank you to Armand. Thank you to Vincent. Thank you to Clayton. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. Thank you all so very much for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep all of this going. No, I wasn't, I was just reading earlier that, Mother Russia and harmless Putin have recognized the breakaway areas of Donetsk and Luhansk in Ukraine. Curiously, both of those areas being, Donetsk in particular being a coal-producing region, which might matter to Kyiv. Have you noticed how we've stopped calling it Kiev? We call it Kyiv now. Oh. But the sanctions are already going into place, et cetera, et cetera. But like I said, I'm getting ahead of myself because there are other things to attend to. For instance, we've got Joey's Journal. Down Gunder. Jeffrey gets us started.
Robin was right last week when she expressed some admonition after Joey and I made a pun out of the Sandy Hook tragedy. Believe it or not, in the original text we put, no pun intended, when mentioning that the insurance companies were going to be on the hook for the $73 million payout to nine of the family members that lost loved ones in the tragedy, we should have yielded and gone with that original impulse.
Yeah. Joey says, I remember the day Sandy Hook took place, where I was and what I was doing that day. I was working with a company based out of Long Island, New York, and when I called in the following Monday, the 17th of December, to discuss our normal business of the day, a gentleman that I discussed the business of the day with informed me that he had attended a wedding just 2 months earlier in October of 2012 and sat at the same table with the second grade teacher, Victoria Soto, who was killed as she shielded her students in a closet from the gunman. So again, my apologies for not being more sensitive to such a tragic situation. However, I would like to express my gratitude to the families who, against all odds, fought against these disgusting gun goons who passed all kinds of legislation rendering it nearly impossible to take down the gun manufacturers and the NRA. Nobody thought that the plaintiffs could win, given the Protection of Lawful Commerce of Arms Act of 2005. This scandalous and Orwellian-named federal law was designed to shield gun makers from the lawsuits. Again, only a Republican Congress led by a Republican president could pass something so disgusting and disingenuous. It is just truly unbelievable that makers of merchandise so destructive were granted immunity from any form of accountability of the sort that's typically imposed on manufacturers of all manner of other goods and services. Most certainly should have been standard for gun makers such as Remington Bushmaster. Oh, no. Oh, there's Junior. Did you say 2005 and Republicans? That sounds like the George W. Bushmaster administration. And that's correct, Junior. Bush was subservient to the fundamentalists. The weapon used at Sandy Hook was a Remington Bushmaster, and because of the idiot George W. Bush's unwillingness to continue the ban on assault rifles, this rifle was legal to have in one's possession. However, thanks to the Sandy Hook families and their lawyers, there was a state law cited to circumvent federal law, and that was the Connecticut Unfair Trade Practices Act, which focused on the marketing practices used to sell Remington's Bushmaster rifle. These practices, they argued, encouraged its illegal use and might have been especially enticing to troubled young men, such as troubled young white men, such as the 20-year-old who carried out the massacre at Sandy Hook. One ad showed an image of the Bushmaster with the words,
"Consider your man card reissued."
And another included the phrase,
"Forces of opposition, bow down. You are single-handedly outnumbered."
Jesus, that's disgusting. Jeffrey making a point.
So again, a big thank you goes out to the Sandy Hook families and lawyers who ventured out against unspeakable odds to stop the menace that is the NRA, Remington, and all the small penis club gun geeks that think a gun really protects your family and your manhood. It does neither. But in fact, where there are guns, there is death.
Rather unassailable logic, Jeffrey. Experts believe this case will be a roadmap for all kinds of cases that can be brought in the future and stands to open the court door to a lot of new families. Oh, look who's here. Joey 2 the Kangaroo has a thought or two from down under. Joey 2 the Kangaroo with a thought or two. Yay!
On April 28, 1996, a 28-year-old man with a troubled past named Martin Bryant, walked into a cafe in Port Arthur, a tourist town on the island of Tasmania, and opened fire with a semi-automatic rifle. He killed 35 people and wounded another 28. Almost immediately, my country of Australia had several gun buyback programs that primarily focused on weapons of war. Assault rifles, simply put, the buyback program was an overwhelming success, as nearly 650,000 guns were taken off the streets of Australia, and almost instantly, gun deaths plummeted. So, come on, America, let's get hopping and get rid of these guns.
Oh, Junior just adores his new little friend.
Wow, Joey 2 the Kangaroo is so smart, she really jumped on that one. I just love her.
Bless his little heart, little baby sister. This has been Joey's Journal for Monday, the 21st of February, 2022, with Giraffe thanking Australia for what they did down under to put down gunders. And so there's a $10 Down Gunder challenge on the table, and that will help because our fundraising goal this evening, remember we had a little miracle on Friday, and our fundraising goal this evening is down, is now down, well, it's at $300. It'll be $280 if somebody will meet Joey, Giraffe, and Juniors, and Joey 2, will meet their Down Gunders challenge. There's the whole Ukraine thing. We can talk about that if we need to. Sanctions are already being put in place with regard to anyone doing business in the two rebellious provinces of Ukraine. And Putin has ordered, oh my God, this is so transparent. I mean, you'd almost be, if it was anybody but them, or maybe, you know, the People's Republic of China, you'd be like, oh, this is, or, you know, but then again, you know, it worked. It worked in 1939.
We must go into Poland to protect the sovereignty of Germany against Polish horse cavalry.
Yeah, no. So anyway, Putin is sending in Russian troops to the rebellious provinces for peacekeeping purposes. Curiously, nobody really asked him to do that. He's just keeping the peace, y'all. Just peacekeepers. And of course, you know, I'm sure. Who knows? Maybe the troops will get to those breakaway rebellious provinces via Kyiv.
Oh, we had to go through Kyiv. Is much construction taking place in direct route, so we have to go through Kyiv. It's just how it.
And so plans are in place now to remove the Ukrainian government from Kyiv to another city about 50 miles from the Polish border. And I can imagine the Poles, even though they're all right, they're all right wing now, and have a real fascist bent to them. Remember when Nitwit Nero went to Poland a few years back, and they were waving Confederate battle flags because the Poles understood that that's exactly the same thing as waving the swastika flag, because it is. Yeah, I remember that too. And so, exactly, Anatole in the chat room says they're telegraphing. Yeah, they are. But nonetheless, I can imagine the Poles are thinking, wait a minute. Because ultimately, you know, what Putin's all upset about is that the former Warsaw Pact Soviet bloc satellite countries aren't under his thumb. Among other things, I was reading earlier today that Putin got very upset when they started taking down Soviet-era statues in Ukraine. And he said, you want decommunization? I will show you decommunization. Yeah. So, there's that. There's that. Let's see. Scott in San Diego says, when someone tells you where they're coming from, believe them. In 2008, in a three-hour conversation with Rick Stengel, Putin stated,
greatest tragedy of 20th century was dissolution of Soviet Union.
His observation was not a casual remark. It was said, Stengel recalls, with anger, with bitterness, by an aggrieved man, an aggrieved little man, he's about, what, 5'6", for whom the topic conjures up the image of smoke figuratively coming out of his ears. In the 14 years since Putin's statement, his position has not cooled. For those in the U.S. who can't get their heads around intricate geopolitical things, there's a homegrown example of such mad steadfastness of butthurt memory. The Civil War ended in 1865 with the defeat of the South. 157 years later, there are more than a few descendants of the vanquished rebels whose anguished cry is, "Forget hail!" For Putin and for them, it's as if the events from which their anguish is sourced happened a week ago on Thursday. Happy Monday, everybody. Say it, Scott, say it.
We're all screwed, Robin.
Yeah, I know. Steve in New York noting Russia will invade within 10 days. Well, we didn't get past day one counting up to 10. They're already headed for Donetsk and Luhansk. Peacekeepers, remember? Peacekeepers. Jesus. Steve adds, here's just how bad Fox is. I got an email from my mom with the subject, "Communism in the text scares me to death." She also sent me one with the subject, "Info." Too bad we didn't talk more. Steve, I sure hope you don't let the government control your life and finances and that you don't think Democrat. Too bad Trudeau is using control to ruin people's financials. Last thing, our corruption from Biden is so pitiful. L. Mom. Steve says, Robin, I'm not a communist, so I would not defend it. However, I guarantee my mom has not one iota of what it is, or knows not one iota of what it is, but I also guarantee you she got this off Fox. Communism bad, with no explanation of what it is. On the second email, the same thing. She has not one iota of knowledge what Trudeau actually did, the law involved, etc. Robin, this is right off of Tucker Carlson and Frau Ingram. Maybe she's, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't call her Frau. Maybe she's Gospaza Ingram. Fox is so destructive because it's pure poison. It does nothing but suck people's brains out of their head and replace it with petroleum jelly. My mom could not actually give any reasons for any of this, but she could regurgitate Biden corrupt, Trudeau stealing money. On another note, when we talked, she asked me what my partner thought about the Ottawa siege. I told her they were nutballs. I told her about them peeing on Canada's Tomb of the Unknown, the Cenotaph. I told her about those crazies invading a homeless shelter and harassing the staff until they gave them food. Her response, oh, that doesn't get reported here. Robin, this is just another example of Fox's poison. CNN, MSNBC, etc. all reported the story about peeing on the Tomb of the Unknown and the homeless shelter. The Canadian press certainly reported it, and it's very easy to read foreign press because of the series of tubes, don't you know? Fox has stolen my mom's brain and many others. And that's not actually an exaggeration. Fox is poison. Pure poison. God, I know. I know. I saw a clip because I watched John Oliver's monologue from last week tonight, last night. Gets confusing saying all that. And he was talking about... talking about critical race theory, and he had a clip of Tucker Carlson, and it was just pure garbage. Fox only works if you are absolutely and delightedly and eagerly uninformed and hope to stay that way. And there we are. And by, you know, Tucker Carlson doesn't believe what he says. Neither does Gospaza Ingram. Or any of the... Judge Jeanine. None of them do. But they know that there's a fortune to be made off the rubes in saying the stuff. And say it they by God do. Greg, meanwhile, says, oh, look, power-hungry commie Ruski Prez. Nobody, he's not a communist. Former communist, former KGB spook. Oh, look, power-hungry commie Ruski Prez Vlad Impaler Putin follows Russia's constitution about declaring war on other countries better than the POTUS of our exceptional nation. Following the Ukrainian Revolution, a secession crisis began in the Russian-leaning Crimean Peninsula. On 1 March 2014, Yanukovych put into writing his request that President Putin of Russia send military forces to establish legitimacy, peace, law, order, and stability, and defending the people of Ukraine. On the same day, Putin requested and received authorization from the Russian parliament to deploy troops to Ukraine in response to the crisis. Russian troops accordingly mobilized throughout Crimea and the southeast of Ukraine. By 2 March, Russian troops had complete control over Crimea. Yeah. I mean, he did those things. Because it's not very hard to do when, you know, you've got a puppet legislature. I imagine they're in the, what's the name of the Russian parliament? I imagine there weren't a lot of people saying, "Nyet, nyet!" Because that gets you dead real quick. Really quick. And you know, the very thing that began the so-called secession crisis, you can rest assured was manufactured. Because Putin wanted and needed the Crimea. So we're that. We've got that. The Duma. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen New York. Thank you, the Duma. Yeah, I was in the dumbass Duma. Sorry. Yeah, I heard about that. Ron in Raleigh says, I don't know whether you heard about the three charlatans running for Michigan Attorney General called for overturning Griswold versus Connecticut, saying they believe the case was wrongly decided. How long have we been touting the next logical step in the Republican agenda to turn the U.S. into an authoritarian theocracy is to overturn Griswold? Sometimes being right sucks. That's a real no-kidding news to all three Republicans running for the Attorney General of Michigan. So, and you got it. Well, first of all, here's the problem. Ron knows what Griswold is. I know what Griswold is. Everybody in this community, this Horn Family Community Congregation, knows what Griswold is. Now go do the Jay Leno man on the street thing and say, tell me what Griswold is. You know the answer. You know the answer. And it would, you know, it would be hilarious, of course. Well, that's the family that went to Wally World in the National Lampoon vacation movie. Yeah, remember? Yeah, Clark Griswold. Remember that scene with Christie Brinkley and the Lamborghini or Ferrari? I think it was a Ferrari. And yeah, remember that? Yeah, well, Chevy Chase, that was Clark Griswold. I wish I was kidding. You know I'm not. Because what I was about to say is, with regard to Griswold, how many married families? Because remember, that's what Griswold was about. Griswold versus Connecticut was a case brought against the state of Connecticut because they had outlawed contraceptives, pregnancy prevention. And the very narrow pleading of Griswold was that it was unconstitutional to tell married couples that they could not use contraception. Married couples. Well, and so these three clowns, these three dangerous clowns in Michigan, have said to the people of Michigan, we want to take away your rights as married couples to manage your own families and the size of your own families. Yeah, I can only hope that journalism will do at least a moderately better job than they've been doing so far in telling people what that means. You know, our dear friend Joey in Ann Arbor was writing earlier today about this, and she said, you know, there's an agenda. There's definitely an agenda. She said earlier today on Facebook, so I was reading speculation that after Roe falls, Griswold is the next because privacy protection brought the rest. Obergefell, same-sex marriage, Lawrence, sodomy laws, and they'll save Loving versus Virginia for last. Once all of that is destroyed, then they'll start on labor laws and environmental laws and every shred of FDR's New Deal. Look at what's already been normalized. I wonder if the majority is just going to continue to sit back and take it because it can't happen here. It's already happening here, and it has been happening here. My God, like Ron and Raleigh pointed out, how long have we been talking about the ultimate goal being Griswold? Griswold is everything. Because, in truth, the framers of the Constitution did not, because they didn't think they needed one. Didn't say anything about the right to privacy. There's no privacy protection because it was, the notion seemed baked in that a free people would, first and foremost, have the right to privacy. I mean, for instance, I mean, you can kind of see their thinking if you look at, for instance, the constitutional amendment that says that you no one shall be required or forced to quarter troops in their homes. Well, that's because you have a right to live in your own private home. If it's yours, it's yours. A girl's home is her castle. If there's no right to privacy, then the government should be able to quarter troops in your homes anytime you want to. And, of course, you know, during the Civil War, to be fair, there were a lot of Union troops quartered in a lot of homes all over the rebellious South, but they were in rebellion. They had declared themselves separate and apart from the Constitution of the United States. So, necessarily, you know, Union troops would set up shop and, oh, I don't know, General Sherman would take the big bedroom in the mansion, and you know the junior officers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Remember that the surrender of the South, and remember the last flag of the Confederacy was pure solid white, a flag of surrender. It was signed in a farmhouse in Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia, because Virginia was in rebellion. But this is all, it's all so dangerous, and it all is so frightful. Because none of this triptych of clowns would say what they've said if there was any danger in them saying it. Former State House Speaker Tom Leonard, Michigan State Representative Ryan Berman, and pettifogger Matthew DiPerno debated last week. And one of the questions was, about Griswold, 1965. And the question simply put was it rightly decided? Well, Tom Leonard said, this case, much like Roe v. Wade, I believe was wrongly decided because it was an issue that trampled upon states' rights. It was an issue that should have been left up to the states. And pettifogger DiPerno said, the Supreme Court has to decide, mark my words, that the privacy issue currently is unworkable. It's going to be a states' rights issue on all these things, as it should be. Okay, so yeah, they overturned. Okay, and it's a states' rights issue, but by God, they say that for a reason, because after years and years and years of fighting Roe v. Wade on the federal level, the multi-billion-dollar fetus fetish industry finally realized that it's a lot easier and cheaper just to run coups on state governments. And that you can buy a state legislator for lots cheaper than you can buy, say, a federal one. And so can you imagine what leaving the right to privacy up to states in places like Alabama or Mississippi Stan or Arkansas, what that'll be like?
Well, we will have a right to privacy for good, God-fearing, decent white couples. But it will not include being able to take the slut medicine. Every woman, when she has sex, has to worry about whether or not she's going to get all pregnant, because that's the way God wants it.
The only one who even vaguely waffled in that debate last week in Michigan was Representative Ryan Berman. He said, "No, I need to research the ruling further. But I'm all about states' rights, and I'm against federal judicial activism." You know, unless, of course, the federal judicial activism is one that takes away the constitutional right of a woman to control the workings of her own body. Now, for someone who is a somewhat more than casual student of history, it is so incredibly jarring to me to hear someone from what was once upon a time a union state parroting the words of Lester Maddox and George Wallace and, what was his name, Harry Byrd in Virginia. States' rights, states' rights. Because you really wonder if you've awakened in that opposite world, Star Trek opposite world, where, you know, Spock has a Van Dyke. Yeah. And see, this is the thing. Ordinarily, you'd say, "Nah, you know, Griswold's pretty well settled precedent." I mean, it's hung on through thick and thin for 57 years, and no court in its right mind would overturn it. But there's the operative phrase, in its right mind. This court is not in its right mind. This court has a 6-member majority who are wild-eyed, crazier than a sprayed roach, Federalist Society radicals. Now, I am proud of the fact that the incumbent Attorney General of Michigan, Dana Nessel, got right to work. She said, "The party of limited government wants direct involvement in everything you do in the bedroom. The Handmaid's Tale is no longer dystopian fiction." Oh, Madam General, it's still dystopian. It's just the not fiction part anymore. Scott in San Diego says, "Here's how I explained it to a friend on Facebook. Ukraine in a nutshell. You'd think if Putin was such a close pal of Trump, Donald could give him a call and tell him to knock off the crazy Russian crap. Oh, wait, Trump wanted to screw Biden by trying to get Ukraine's president to smear Biden's son to undermine his electoral chances in 2020. Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden." God, I swear, it's not the Rona, but it's too early, but something out there is blooming, and I've been a sneezing fool, so those periodic... No, Hunter Biden, the Benghazi overtime, remember? We will hear about Hunter Biden until we're all fit to lose our mind. Yeah. Since that didn't work and resulted in the first of Trump's 2 impeachments, I'm guessing, Scott says, this invasion scheme is part of a Putin-Trump payback? Yeah, it smells like that. It gets worse. Steve in New York says, "I saw a video where these two people set up a table asking for people to sign a petition to end the suffrage of women around the world. Oodles of people were signing until a single woman started telling people that suffrage means the right to vote and is not another form of suffering." English can be such a devil of a language sometimes. There's you know who did the two magician comedians, one of them doesn't talk. They did a bit one time where they went to an environment. It was really unfunny. Penn and Teller. They went to an environmental rally, and We're asking for petition signatures to ban dihydrogen monoxide. And because it's, and they said, you know, dihydrogen monoxide, it kills thousands of people every year. We must move to ban this substance. And their point was that you can get just about anybody to do just about anything if you con them the right way. And of course, Penn and Teller have made a fortune out of a sort of benign con of magic, illusion. And so a bunch of eager young environmental activists were eagerly putting their signatures on the petition. And if you watch the video about it, apparently none of them ever twigged on the notion that dihydrogen monoxide is H2O is water. Oh, and Penn and Teller thought it was just hilarious. And I'm guessing, Steve, that this was something similar. It's a bit of fakery to show how easy it is to lead people down the wrong path. I mean, you can almost hear the scary martial music on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda as they declare that worldwide women's suffrage continues to grow and we must do something about the suffrage of women all over the world. And Emery and Marbeline sitting in their matching Barca loungers in the Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club and Trailer Court. Emery saying, you know, Marbeline, I'm just glad that we've been able to be together and you haven't had all that suffrage. And I know, Emery. I love you. Ta-da! Buying local and state power. Scott in San Diego notes, and when the GOP buys them, they stay bought. 30 out of the 50 states in this union, by the way, have moved to in various forms. To enact legislative viciousness and cruelty against, come on, fill in the blank, trans kids. Yeah. 30 out of 50 U.S. states are currently considering anti-trans legislation. And there's a website, Transformations Project, transformationsproject.org. And speak up for kids who can't speak for themselves or are barely able to. What are those states? Well, Florida. We'll get back to Florida in a minute. Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi Stan, Tennessee Stan, Kentucky Stan, South Carolina Stan, North Carolina Stan, Virginia Stan. Maryland Stan, Delaware Stan, New Jersey Stan, Pennsylvania Stan, New Hampshire Stan, Ohio Stan, Talibandiana, Illinois Stan. See, you got to put the Stan there. It's like, you know, and it won't pass in Illinois. Probably won't pass in Minnesota. But, you know, Missouri Stan, Kansas Stan, Oklahoma Stan, South Dakota Stan, Wyoming Stan, Utah Stan, Arizona Stan, Alaska Stan, and of all places, sorry Ken, Hawaii Stan. Because, well, to paraphrase Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life, Republicans, ye have always with ye. And it's just so, you know, some of those places, hopefully Hawaii, Minnesota, Michigan, maybe not. Pennsylvania, maybe not. But a majority of these states will probably get them either out of committee and onto the floor or actually all the way into law. And once upon a time, you'd say, well, yeah, but you can take it up to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court will bounce it on its ears. That takes time and it takes money. And it's and they'll come back. If the relentless, remorseless war against women has taught us anything, it is that they do not take a loss and then sit back because it's too good a dollar. I still can't help wondering what happens when they win. What happens? What happens when their fondest dream comes true? And Roe is overturned by these wild-eyed maniac radicals of the Federalist Society on the Supreme Court. What happens then? Once upon a time, when I was a slightly more naive woman, I thought, well, that's the end of that'll be the end of Republican political activism. But it won't. They'll just retool the grift. That's all. They'll change the messaging. Friend, they're still murdering babies in California. We need $3.19 from you today to protect the precious little fetuses. And that'll be day in and day out. As long as there is anywhere in this country where a woman has a right to control the workings of her own body. And they're not going to be happy either until they can get rid of every last trans person, gay person, bi person, pan person, queer questioning person, intersexed person, asexual person, lesbian person, gay person in this country. They want, and I'm not kidding. This is not hyperbole. They want us all dead. Dead. Because maybe if you can get rid of all of us, none of us will ever come back. But, I mean, nobody will ever be gay again. Nobody will ever be lesbian, bi, etc. And you know, by God, trans kids will, you know what? They'll learn well enough that if they're trans, they just need to go out and commit suicide. It is their fondest dream. Look at Florida. I told you we'd get back to Florida. You know, we've been talking for a while now about Florida's Don't Say Gay bill. You know, that was, it's sort of modeled on the Texas vigilante bill. Because, among other things, and the way this thing is structured in Florida, if some teacher says the G word, you know, gay, or God knows, God forbid, the T word, trans, well, parents are empowered to sue the teacher, the school board, the principal, the maintenance staff. And ultimately this is an attack on the idea of self-governance itself. And so now, with that law already under consideration, sometime tomorrow the full House is supposed to vote on the bill, but Representative Joe Harding, the irony, Representative Joe Harding of Florida, in the Florida State House, has amended his own bill. Now, Joe Harding is not some longtime politician down in Florida. He also doesn't know, and this is a complicated legal term, doesn't know dick about education, doesn't have any background therein, doesn't know anything about child psychology or the development of the child. knows nothing about LGBTQ issues, you know, until he gets caught with a man in his mouth. And so there's HB 1557, House Bill 1557. And that's the Don't Say Gay bill. And what he's done with his amendment, and to say that this is chilling is to understate it by orders of magnitude. Well, the bill says that teachers or the school staff members must contact parents if there is a change in related services or monitoring related to mental, emotional, or physical health or well-being. So if the kid starts saying, I'm gay at school, the school has to turn around and narc on the children to their parents, even if their parents are homophobes or transphobes, queerphobes, and will beat the child within an inch of their life or even kill them, still the school has to rat them out. And then, because this is the new trend, this is where we're going, this is the dissolution of ideas of representative government and self-government, and most particularly it is the pretty much the end of our judicial system. If it turns out that little Billy starts saying that she wants to be called little Tammy, and she wants to be she and her, and the school doesn't rat out little Tammy, then the parent who despises their trans child can sue the school district, the school, the principal, the teacher, the teacher's aide, the maintenance staff, whatever, for damages for not narking on the kid. And it's valuable to note that 40% of kids who are homeless are part of the LGBTQQIA+ community. And a lot of those kids are homeless because when they did come out, their parents said, get out. Oddly enough, with regard to trans kids, that same 40% number is the number of trans kids who report that they have either contemplated or attempted suicide. They want us dead. They are genocidalists. Or maybe they're just homicidal maniacs. I don't know if you can use... Yeah, I think you can. I mean, it doesn't necessarily work with the... Well, it kind of does, the Latin root gens gentis. A group, a tribe, a clan, a family. They're trying to kill children at the same time that they say, we revere life. Do you think, and this is just another little thought experiment. Do you think if there was some genetic marker that would say, oh, I don't know, determine that a child in the womb would probably grow up to be trans or gay, lesbian, bi, etc., You think if that could be genetically identified, that the fetus fetishists would carve out an abortion exception for any woman who wanted to terminate a trans pregnancy or a gay pregnancy or a lesbian pregnancy? I think they'd do it in a minute. Oh, by the way, over the weekend, I got my questionnaire from West Virginians for Life. Not sending it back, because the way I would like to respond is probably not wise. I mean, the bottom line is a woman's right to choose is a woman's right to choose, and that is non-negotiable. Full stop. And the same goes for people outside of cis heteronormative America. Yeah, you do. You've got a right to be who you are. It's inherent and fundamental to the Constitution. I will argue all day long and twice on Sunday that, yeah, you do have a constitutional right to be gay. You do have a constitutional right to be trans or asexual. You have that constitutional right because it is nature. There has never been a time when human beings were on this planet that there were not gay human beings and women who loved women only and people who were uncomfortable in their gender. There has never been a time. That's not to say that various and sundry forms of human governance have tried to erase us. Oh, no. There's been a lot of attempts to erase us. And a man shall not put on the raiment of a woman. Still trying to sort that one out in a time when everybody was wearing a damn dress. LGBT kids, Stephen New York says, does the doctor-patient privilege extend to a kid telling a school nurse or counselor, social worker? If so, this strikes me that this forces a nurse, counselor, social worker to violate the privilege. Well, the problem with that, at least as I understand it, having studied it over the years, is that, well, the attorney-client privilege is the most profound and powerful privilege that we have. The doctor-patient privilege is not nearly as, or the medical privilege is not nearly as strong as most people think it is. And in fact, when you sign that HIPAA consent at your doctor's office, none of us read it. But the bottom line is, what you're signing there is not protecting your privacy. It actually contains a declaration of the times when your doctor can spill the tea all over you. And how a court may go about obtaining records, or a law enforcement agency. And frankly, your HIPAA rights ain't much. And since there's an agency relationship, a school nurse, for instance, if there is one. I mean, I grew up in a time when there was a school nurse. Gone are the days. But if there is a school nurse, that school nurse is an employee of the school system, or at least an agent thereof. And so, too bad. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, bringing the fight. Our governor has proposed a law where people can sue anyone who is supplied or killed with a firearm obtained in violation of California gun control laws for $10,000 plus lawyer's fees. He stated, let's see how principled the Supreme Court is. Time to start fighting fire with fire, so to speak. Why no? You know, back when Talibandiana was pushing their no pizzas for the gay weddings bill, I said way back then that gay business owners should refuse services to, I don't know, evangelical Christians. I mean, why not? Sauce, goose, sauce, gander. And of course, that would create a domino effect, and pretty soon everybody would be denying services to somebody.
Oh, wait. You're left-handed? Oh, I don't do business with left-handed people.
No. And of course, that way lies chaos. Pure and simple. And I agree with Gavin Newsom. Let's see how principled the Supreme Court is.
Well, you can't do that. That's a constitutional right people have to own firearms and, you know, blow away schools full of second graders.
Because every one of these pro-gun rulings is essentially a statement that guns are more important than children. And of course, it comes under the signature of people who think that a 7 week old wad of tissue is a human being. They want what they want, and they want it now. And the rest of us can hang fire. Yeah, at the doctor's office, Randy Radar says, they don't tell you about the clauses that you can strike. Henrietta Lacks, anyone? Yeah, maybe we need to all go in next time we're at the doctor and say, can I see my hip? I want to redo my HIPAA. And then just start interlineating. And then they say, well, we can't treat you. You either do it, or you don't get seen. So now, back to Florida for just a moment. Now, if this amendment passes when it's considered tomorrow, or I mean, if the bill passes tomorrow, schools have to come up with a plan for ratting out little gay kids while allegedly protecting the kids' well-being. I don't know how you can do that. You know, maybe there will be some parents who will get the phone call and say, hey, I know my kid's gay. I love my kid. That'll happen. That will happen. I know my kid's gay. I love my kid. And you better not make my kid miserable, or I'll be on you with an army of lawyers like a duck on a June bug. But the problem is, that's going to be the minority.
What? What do you mean? What do you mean my son's trans? What do you mean? What do you mean he's going around calling himself Tammy? I'll beat the Tammy right out of that little asshole the minute I get him home. He won't be trans for long, by God.
And the headline next day will read, trans child beaten to death by parent. And nobody will dump the dead body on the doorstep of Representative Harding. Nobody will confront Representative Joe Harding and say, this is on you. Because that wouldn't be polite, would it? Of course not. Scott in San Diego said, going back to that petition stuff, you've given me an idea, Robin. I think I'll do my own silly petition thing. I'll set up a card table on some busy San Diego corner with a Sons of the Desert sign and invite folks to sign up to ban importation of goods from Stan Laurel Stan. That's a bit esoteric, but I know, I happen to be one who represents the, or who understands that. And Scott adds, as Mitt Romney might have said, guns are people, my friends. I mean, they name their shooting irons in some branches of the military. What's next? In the world today, anything's possible. Well, I mean, there are elements in a firearm that have the same, elements like in the periodic table. I mean, there's iron in a firearm. Well, there's iron in a human being. There's lead in a firearm. We all got some lead in us. Ergo, guns are people, my friends. Steve in New York says, I completely agree with fighting fire with fire, as Matt suggests. However, where does it stop? Robin, these laws are the express way to disintegration of any semblance of society we might have. This will go on ad infinitum. It'll go on until they are forced to stop. You know, for every one of these Looney Tunes bills, maybe California needs to introduce its polar opposite. You want to rat out gay kids? Okay, we need a California assembly statute that says any teacher having been found to have ratted out a kid against their will and put their lives in jeopardy can be sued, and the school system can be sued. And what you have then is, in essence, the legislative bifurcation of this country. Very little different from where this country was in, say, 1850. Hint, that didn't end well. Yeah. Well, that's the Filler Robster. We've made it an hour into the program. We've still got $300 to raise. We have 6 broadcast days remaining in February. By the way, I'll be filling in for Malloy Thursday and Friday of this week, so I hope you enjoy that. Let's run over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I was trying to look up. There was a guy who was the head of the California higher education, Clark Kerr. He first was the chancellor at University of California, Berkeley, and then he, in the 60s, headed the entire University of California entity, okay? And back in 64, when the free speech advocates were going out into the commons on campus, setting up their card tables with Mario Savio, I think was his name, was the person who headed that up.
That sounds right.
The university, Mr. Kerr in particular, cracked down on the students exercising their right of free speech. And there was a Latin phrase that he used as justification, which is what I was trying to look up. And it had to do with the notion that until a person reaches a certain age, the university it would act as a substitute parent to keep them
in loco parentis.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. See, I knew your Latin would pay off, as it so.
I've been waiting so long.
Yeah, but you get what I mean. There was a time when entities supposedly put into place for purposes of higher education were acting like, what's that phrase again in Latin, in loco?
Parentis. It means your parents are crazy. No, it really doesn't.
You're annoying me. You're confusing me. I'm trying to make a serious point as a rare change of pace on my part. But you get what I mean. There was a time when these entities such as state university systems would try to take the switch, so to speak, to pretty much grown-up people who were, you know, if the object of education is to learn something and the object beyond that is to exercise and employ what you've learned to your day-to-day life, it's no wonder they had card tables set up, you know, to say a brief happy word in favor of free speech, for fuck's sake, you know? But no, we'll have none of that. But then again, that was back in the early 60s, and we see how that played out. You know, people of, as I call them, disenfranchised members of the Pepsi generation called bullshit on that. And we did all right there for a while until we all got corporate jobs. You know, wasn't it either Rubin or two of the guys in the Chicago 8, one of them ended up working on Wall Street. It was either Jerry Rubin or Abby Hoffman. I forget which. You know, and fucking Bobby Seale wrote a goddamn barbecue cookbook and made big, big bucks.
Yeah. And who am I thinking of? God, they murdered him.
Oh, well, that could be anybody.
No. The Black Panthers.
Fred Hampton.
Yeah, PhD.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Fred Hampton, PhD. Nobody ever says Fred Hampton, PhD. They just say Fred Hampton.
Dead Black Panther.
But they, you know, there was a reason he was such a thorn in the side of, what was his name, the judge in the trial at Chicago 7?
Judge Julius Hoffman.
Yes.
Bookmark in. Look up the video, the movie, Trial of the Chicago 8. If you haven't already seen it, there were two. One was called Conspiracy Trial of the Chicago 8, and the more recent one was, I think, just the Trial of the Chicago 8. That all took place in an actual federal fucking courtroom in our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
But binding and gagging and chaining a defendant in a courtroom. Oh, Judge Hoffman was a piece of work. He came from the wrong branch of the Hoffman family.
Jesus, that wasn't Abby's big brother.
Hell no. More like his angry maiden aunt or something. I just
don't make me spit. Take the monitor, damn it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Honestly,
that was close.
And I thank you for recognizing the non-recognition of the mythical state of Stan Laurelstan.
Yes.
I think we need to get our card table.
Well, apparently there's some card table ideas out there because Stephen New York said, remember this? Our illustrious ambassador to the UN bought the notion of a state of Bonomo. How about banning imports from Bonomo?
Bonomo. Now, that wasn't Cafefe or Cafafe or...
No, that was... Republican presidential hopeful presidential timber lady from South Carolina, Nikki Nimrata Haley.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I mean, and it still amazes me how that story just hit and died. And we're one of the few outlets that every time her name comes up, we talk about the Bonomo story.
And these folks want to be in charge. This is the ultimate irony and frightening part of the scenario. These people and those who are way worse than those people want to be in charge, Robin.
Yes.
They want to write the laws. They want to appoint the judges. They want to be the chief executive of the US of A. And it's like there's a segment of society that says, well, that'll be great. That'll be just tickety-boo, you know?
Yeah, fan-freaking-tastic.
Which is why I say we have got to be engaged to be between now and November 22, which is just around the corner in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And be engaged for 2024, because anything can happen. You know, it's just, there's no rest for the righteous. There's really not. And folks who buy into the notion that, well, our work here is done, and we're going to have, you know, Skittles and beer and happiness all around with flying unicorns and who knows what. Wake up, people. That ain't happening. And they are that's their prime mission in life, is to keep anything along the lines of reasonable and workable and logical and worthwhile to come into being on a large scale, because that is diametrically opposed to their interests and goals. So fuck them. Just fuck them.
I'm having a hard time disagreeing with you.
And by the way, going back to last week, I appreciate your honesty and openness, giving us a brief dissertation about your color-coded dilators.
Are what they are.
And do you know that there was a time in America when brides were virginal, and they would have to go to their doctor.
Yes.
And have to the doctor, they have a series of visits to prepare them for the wedding night.
When, in fact, over in Mother England, mothers have been telling daughters, just lie back and think of England for generations. Beige. I'll paint the ceiling beige.
Yes. What a lovely pattern of wallpaper that would be. We must get that.
I like paisley.
And I wasn't making fun, by the way. I was, some of us, even as broad-minded as we might be, and accepting and loving as we might be, there are tangible things, practical things, that we just never imagined.
No, and look, I mean, you know, I don't do it for prurient purposes.
No, I know you don't.
Let me see if I can put this somehow sensibly. But the bottom line is, a lot of people are put off by, some are even scared by, God knows why, trans people. And, you know, fear often emerges from the unknown.
Yeah.
So I'm all for making everything known. And there's a big difference between going and trying to weed out fact from fiction on a Wikipedia page and just having someone you know tell them what they went through just to be themselves.
Yeah, because most of us, like, and hell, I'm probably one of the, well, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm putting my sweetener in the coffee. I'm going to make the tinkle noise. Hang on. Because I'm fixing my third cup. There are some of us, as well-read as we are, we're not up to snuff in terms of the finer points of parts of life. Parts of parts, as Frank Perdue might say.
Parts is parts. Yeah.
That's right. But do you get what I mean? I mean, I welcome being educated and enlightened and informed.
Well, that is because, you know, you're not lost in the darkness of ignorance and superstition and fear.
And honestly, I learned something. I had no idea they were color-coded. You know, you can line them up and use them.
Well, it'd be a pain in the ass if you had to take a tape measure out and measure them every time, now, wouldn't it?
Well, that's true. You could number them. Anyway. I just...
Purple, blue, green, orange. I've actually thought... these things are made by, they are medical devices, okay? And they're made by a company called Soul Source. I think it's in California.
It's good that they're not made by Coleco, the folks who brought us Simon, the popular
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. Good, you were making...
Jesus, I've even got a Simon story all the way. Yeah. way, way, way back in the dim mists of time when I rode my dinosaur to college. Yes, I tried LSD.
Oh, baby.
And I was absolutely transfixed by a Simon.
No doubt.
And I could, and I had it sitting on my lap, and I could see the colors without looking at the thing. And I just sat there, and you know, it gets progressively more difficult. And it would do it, and I would just, because it was all right there in front of me without looking at the machine.
Well, the first lesson of LSD is tangerine dreams and marmalade skies are never, you never get them on the first try. You have to roll with it and see how it plays out. It,
but no, I, what I was going to say is I'm thinking about writing to Soul Source, because after the four nightmare years of Nitwit Nero, the biggest dilator should not be orange.
Yeah, I think that's a, I think they need to know that.
And red, no, not red either. But so it goes purple, blue, green, and we got to come up with another color. Yellow? No, that's kind of pee-pee colored.
Mauve?
Mauve? Mauve? Yeah, no, because we got purple.
Oh.
Pink? Well, pink?
You're making it sound like the marshmallow bits in Lucky Charms. You know, it's like...
And new, and new blue diamonds.
That's right. Yeah. They came along about the time Viagra was introduced, trying to indoctrinate the children.
Oh, Jesus! Mommy?
What's this?
And then you can use your alphabets to spell out priapism.
Well, yeah.
God.
I'm sorry.
Why do you do this to me?
My mind, Robin, I'm telling you, I just...
And people say my mind is a scary place to be.
Oh, well, it is some days. But, yeah, there's can you imagine tripping together? Look in the closet and see if you can find your old Simon and put some fresh batteries in that thing and bring me a hit of something, and the two of us will sit there and just make...
No, I'm retired. I'm retired. No, I determined after after a fairly short period of time that my reality was interesting enough. I'll leave the acid to the zebrafish.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't have a Timothy Leary-esque experience in that arena. But to the extent that I practiced, you know, journeys into wherever I was being taken, there comes a point where you get what you came for and nothing else is ever the same afterwards. And I mean that in a good way. You know, it's something like the doors of perception don't need to be flung wide open. Sometimes opening them just a crack will be quite enough. It give you a lot to go on for the rest of your life even. So yeah, I'm sure some of that has affected my the way that I string things together. And hopefully they're informative and serious and sometimes entertaining and sometimes downright scary, you know. I mean, you got to – what did the fear and loathing guy, Andre Thompson say?
Yeah.
You know, buy the ticket, you got to take the fucking ride, you know?
Yeah.
So how are you? How is your Manic Monday playing out?
This it started out with me seeing the business. Joy in Ann Arbor pointed out the business with ratting out the gay kids in Florida, and just kind of went from there. And then, you know, just before airtime, you know, finding out that the tanks were on the move into Donetsk and Luhansk. I mean, I'm not trying to. I'm taking the Biden administration at their word, and people are out there saying, you know, that they have been so ready for all of this for so long that they've, you know, boom, sanctions, and they've already been imposed. But the problem is they invaded Crimea and we sanctioned them, and that didn't seem to slow them down.
No, and see, that's the problem. You can't use conventional techniques against someone who is, I would dare say, and I'm not a professional, But there's a good deal of madness going on between the ears of one Vladimir Putin. And if his biggest tragedy of the 20th century was the dissolution of the Soviet Union, the boy's got issues.
Yeah, no kidding. One gets the idea he might be a Holocaust denier.
Anything's possible when your mind is wired in such a way that the downfall of the Soviet Union was a bad thing. You know? And there's something about this revivalism of old orders. I mean, we see it in our own streets with the skinheads and the Nazis and the QAnoners and all the rest of those fools. You know, you would think that by now we would have learned ways that don't work. And we would take that knowledge and go about, you know, we would proceed in a manner consistent with creating a world and a future that works positively and appropriately for all concerned. But no, these fuckers are having none of that. No thanks. None for me, thank you very much. And chaos is the word, too, that I apply
sure.
to Putin.
Oh, no, that's one of the fundamental characteristics. You know, he profits by chaos.
Well, of course, because you can get away with a whole raft of shit.
Yeah.
When things are going to hell, seemingly. And that's the trouble. I mean, that therein lies the nub of the issue. The fact that as honorable a person as Joe Biden could ever be, it's like chess, and I never played chess because I couldn't remember which piece could move where and do what. Okay, but you've got to be doing three-dimensional Star Trek chess to deal with people like Putin and others like him. Because, I mean, for years, wasn't the former Soviet Union, didn't they come out on a regular basis with five-year plans?
Oh, yeah. And see, the business about moving into Donetsk and Luhansk, like I said, is so just transparently predictable that, you know, someone green-lighting a Hollywood movie that had that as a plot point would say no. That's just dumb. That's so predictable.
And I think there.
But you have to remember one of the things. One of the things that I think is at least informative on the topic. They think they understand us, but they don't. They understand that we are manipulable. They've got that down to a science. But consider the story that I was talking about, a month ago, about the anti-gay ad. We would call it a PSA that was running in Mother Russia, in which a guy doesn't go vote and he has a nightmare. You know, the commercial, the thing begins with the guy's spouse looking at him and saying, "Well, we better go to bed. We got to get up early and go vote tomorrow." And he goes, "I am not going to vote. Voting is nothing. Voting does not matter." And then he has a nightmare where there's a little gay boy sitting at his breakfast table who informs and he says, "What is this?" The wife says, "Well, you know, it's that new law they passed. Since Putin's not president anymore, everybody has to take in a gay foster kid. And if we can't find him a husband, well, you'll have to marry him, honey."
And that was a PSA on Russian.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't run as comedy.
Oh, hell no, no.
It was run, sorry to use the term, straight. Get out and vote, or you're gonna have to get all gay married.
Paid for by Putin for President Committee, Donald J. Trump, Treasurer, you know?
Bingo. Oh, wait. But, of course, if Donald Trump was his treasurer, Putin would be broke.
Yeah. But I just, you know, and it boggles my mind, Robin, that you know, I don't like to think that my president is getting played. And maybe he's not. Maybe he's got people around him who know what the fucking deal is, okay? He's not like that guy.
Well, it was Friday when Biden said, look, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, maybe they, you know, we read it in New York Times. Yeah. And so,
Biden says I will invade, so I will invade.
How much of this is payback for Hunter Biden? Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
Aren't they in cahoots in a real way?
Well, remember the PP tape is a story coming out of Mother Russia. Okay, this is all something that happened in the Ritz-Carlton presidential suite in Moscow. And then the, whatever it was, 2000-whatever Miss Universe pageant was in Petrograd. So, you know.
I just, you know, sometimes you've got to step back and look at the larger picture. And I think there is a larger picture. Now, maybe I'm not describing it the way it actually is. But, you know, when there's a hand moving the pieces on the political chessboard, the hand is attached to an arm, which is attached to a body, which is attached to a person. And there are people who are enriching themselves, I'm sure, and positioning themselves for future power grabs on this side of the board, you know, in our country, well, hell, you can see them. You hear about them in the news every day. They're lining up. They're chomping at the bit. They're ready to go, you know, and they will take – come in. No, that's the guy next door. I think he's hanging artwork. He's got a fucking lube going on over there because – this is like the fourth day of continual banging.
Bang, bang. The, mice!
Well, there's a hefty mouse over there, then. He could probably pick up John Henry's hammer, you know? But what I'm saying is that it's almost like a play being put on for our entertainment. And I can't be the only one who's seeing beyond what is merely a pageant on stage. This shit is planned out by someone with the goal of either bringing enrichment, further enrichment, and or power or further power to a select number of people. Yes, I get that you like art. banging so loud the other day, I dropped my box of color forms off of my lap. You think Simon was an obscure reference? Let him look up color forms, Bob. Robin, I'm sorry. But I would like to think we have things in hand, okay? But I can't. I don't know yet if I would bet real money on it. And that's the part that gives me the, you know, the quivers in my intestinal tract.
Not yeah, it makes your liver quiver. Yeah, and Jeremy pointing out subject line Vlad. I know you do the accent in jest mostly, but I'd be willing to bet Vlad can speak English as well as us probably without a terribly noticeable accent, Russian or other. Probably, being a former KGB spook, that's likely. But of course, he never does because he doesn't want to let on that he's in on the skinny. Yeah, and by the way, Jeremy pointed out back when we were talking about trans things and trans fear, Jeremy said, I'd say it's 99% fear of the fact that if they find a trans girl or boy appealing, they'd think they're one of those, you know, gay people, even though sex and sexuality and gender are different beasts altogether. Absolutely true. Annette and I have been watching a couple of YouTubers. They've got like 1.5 million subscribers each. They're really good and funny, too, because they're talented. One of them's Natalie Wynn, and she goes by ContraPoints. And the other is Abigail Thorne, and she goes by Philosophy Tube.
Natalie is brilliant.
Yes.
I've been a fan of her work for at least a couple of years.
And God, you know what Jeremy is talking about, and it reminded me to mention it. She's fabulous. They both are. Check out Philosophy Tube too, and both of them transition pretty much on air.
Yeah.
And Natalie's productions and Abigail's productions, their production values are just splendid. But there was one episode where Natalie said, and she was talking about, you know, having sex as a woman, and she said, you know, there were a couple of guys, oh, God, and the music comes up underneath, and you hear the bad accent. I swear, Mr. Frodo, if I take one more step, I'll be as far from heterosexuality as I've ever been. Well, all right, Samwise. It's funny how hard it is for people to separate the idea of sexuality from gender, because you know they really are apples and or peaches and bananas, and they just can't. And that's one of the things, you know, there's this thing out there called the trans panic defense. It's been banned in some states like Washington, where somebody will murder a trans woman after having had sex with them, and claim that they just had to do it because they were overwhelmed with a sudden onset of trans panic.
And this is scary stuff. I don't need to tell you. You're old enough to remember Harvey Milk.
Yeah, and, very much so.
And Dan White.
Yeah.
Okay, on the San Francisco town city council, and now they've gotten blatant enough where they don't even need to bring Twinkies into their defense.
I just had the gay panic. I had the trans panic. I had the panic. Didn't want to, but suddenly I just had to. Hey, let me do something here. I think this could be fun. I don't think we've ever done this before. I've got Scary Jerry on the stress line.
Oh, my God. Am I ready?
I are you? I don't know. Scary Jerry, are you there?
You bet your sweet.
I'm here. Go arguing ahead. With people on Reddit. It's great. How y'all doing?
Doing good. You know, stay out of the comments, Jerry. Come on. You know the rules.
Oh, I love the comments. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you... Hey, Shane. Go ahead.
No, you please.
Go ahead.
No, I heard Scott in Florida, and I had to call in. I got something really burning my craw, and it's political, but I love the vibe you guys are going on. And it's funny how many people in the Hornverse have all twiddled their dendrites and their neurons and looked past the other side. It's amazing, actually. I think that's how you get into our little club. Have you tripped? Yes, I have.
Have you seen the walls breathe? Come on in.
I was in making a decision to whether it be a political group or a church. I've decided to be a Zoom church because a political thing in Florida or a charity has lots of boxes to check. Whereas a church is an inherent First Amendment thing. So if you put a pot leaf on your head and said, you know, I'm the Bishop of Bud, you can pretty much roll with that, which is pretty exciting. The reason I called in tonight was because a representative from Maine, a Democrat, is authoring legislation to regulate Delta 8.
Oh,
and there's also a...
God damn it.
Yeah, exactly. A Democrat. So, you know, other than driving up there and throwing rocks through the window, Robin, what do we do? Enough is enough.
Public shaming is a thing.
Well, if I can...
Publicly calling out the stupidity. I mean, what? But the question is, Jerry, what do we mean when we say regulate?
Well, first, what is
they want to drop it down to 1%.
Delta 8, for those who don't know, is the non-psychoactive.
Lie. No offense.
It's psychoactive, but you got to work at it. You got to work at it.
Curiously enough, I did not have to work at it.
Some people have different...
Half a tub of Bluebell homemade vanilla ice cream and an entire pot of Szechuan beef later, and I realized I haven't had the munchies in a long time.
Well, what is the reasoning of this Democrat in Maine, Jerry? I mean, what is their justification for doing that?
Let me guess. Protect the children.
No, it's a loophole we have to fix. Instead of saying, I mean, I don't understand what the Democrats shooting themselves in the crotch. Instead of saying, you know what, if it's from hemp, it's all legal. Let's end this argument and go work on something else. They're trying to put monkeys back in the box, and it's terrible. And I don't know what to do. I'm going, this is so easy. Why are they taking the bucket out of the basket here?
Well, I mean, why are we even talking about this? I mean, I want to talk about outright legalization here in West Virginia. It only makes good common sense. We've got revenue deficits, and we've got to replace it somehow. And you know, God knows they tax the bejesus out of cigarettes and gasoline and booze and beer and wine and hell, we may still have it. Let me see here. Yeah, I think they finally got rid of the pop tax in West Virginia. We used to have a specific tax on soda pop. And when you consider the tax revenues that would come in with legal weed, I mean, from a governing standpoint, it just makes sense. The other thing that makes sense is the fact of the matter is, for years, you know, for all of recorded time, we've been buying black market cannabis. And they're and it's totally the Wild West. And, you know, it is not unheard of to... you know, spray a little sugar water to add weight to the bag, or to have some, and to create those pretty little crystals.
Man, look at the crystals on this bud.
Yeah. And in the modern age of things like fentanyl, God only knows what you're getting sometimes. And I'm not trying to scare tactic here, but I think there's benefit in having, you know, testing laboratories that can certify the purity.
I think the only thing here is you can't tell Delta 8 from Delta 9 with a lab test. It takes a really expensive test to actually. I was thinking yesterday, maybe an electron microscope is the only way you could tell. They're that close. And then you would look for the hydrogen bond.
Wow.
But so... I think the point is the criminal justice system. That's the only thing that makes sense. Right now, a cop pulls you over, you can go, it's CBD, Delta 8, leave me alone. And it's kind of like a mushroom in Mario, you know, where everything gets bigger and you're impervious to damage. And I think they want to take that away. And the fact that a Democrat in Maine is even, I want to call the office and not get arrested. If you call them, they're coming for you because you're going to threaten people. So I want to be structured, but I'm not sitting on my hands for another second. This is crap. The fact that Joe Biden hasn't done an executive order is also crap. And I don't care what the Ukraine's doing. All right. Do we talk to AOC? Do we talk to, what do we do? Let's huddle up right now, Horn, and figure it out.
Well, I mean, I try to learn new things every day, and I was just reading it's interesting you would write in. I found a Rolling Stone article today by the eponymously named Mary Jane Gibson, Inside California's Cannabis Crisis. I had no idea that a retail weed license in California is up around $100,000 a year.
Yeah, this is all crap. This is crap. The whole thing. And it's pissing me off. And I'm going with the church thing. there's an actual Church of Cannabis here in Florida. I was shocked to find out that the cannabis church in Denver got raided. So I'm like, yeah, you got to do Zoom so they don't know what door to kick in. And it's sad that I have to think about that. But this is the type of stuff that they talked about at the end of the book for the Seventh-day Adventurers. But it turns out the what's that word? The persecution is coming over a plant. Or if you're Muslim. Or if you're LGBT. I did a lot of projecting LGBT. There was a thread online that I was like, you know what? Miss me with that weak gay bullshit. Some of the strongest people I know are LGBT.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up with that. I've just, you know, I saw a tall gay fellow whipped the shit out of a whole crowd's ass too, because they were being homophobic. He kicked them up and down Washington Avenue. I should have filmed it. It would be on YouTube right now. And then he says, "Look, a fag just kicked your ass," and he walked off. And I was like, everybody kind of clapped on the other side of the street. It was great. But the point being is, no more, none of it. I'm tired of turning the other cheek. I'm out of cheeks. I really am.
I get it. I absolutely get it. Stephen New York points out THC cannabis, wouldn't that also be an alternative far less harmful to opioids? Well, when I was in the depths of my, you know, and it just happens post-op, nerve pain, it hurt. And you, Jerry, suggested I try the Delta 8 gummies, and I did. And I was higher than hell, but I also quit having the nerve pain. And the alternative was either live with the nerve pain or take gabapentin, Neurontin, which just scared the bejesus out of me.
Or opiates.
Yeah.
See, the other thing about Delta 8 specifically, especially if you can dab it or vaporize it, it gets you off the opiates too. So.
Well, yeah. And I mean, we have a lot of fun Friday night talking about the zebrafish on acid. But the fact of the matter is, it's research to try to, because, you know, the zebrafish shares 70% of the chromosomal makeup of humans. And you can tell a little bit about, you know, how people might likely respond. And the whole purpose of all of it is actually to see if psychedelics can be used to ease the horrendous burden of the freaking opioid pandemic.
My daughter and I just got off a text train because she's neuroatypical as well. Those things seem to run in families from the father's side. Yeah. That's interesting. And we brought the same subject at the same time. We're going to start microdosing because we feel we get more out of that than the pharmaceuticals. And I was like, you know what? Before I hit my head, that's how I got through corporate life. I microdosed. It made everything slightly funny and made sense. And it's amazing that I felt blessed to even have a conversation like that with my daughter. But I don't know. I was hoping we were headed to a golden age of cannabis. And now it just seems like gangster shit. Which, whatever. There's money in the gangster shit, to be honest with you. But I wish it had gone a different way. It's consciousness is not your own. That's what this is all coming down to. And if specifically the Democrats don't wrest this away from the Republicans, which they're not, then guess what? When we go full authoritarian, it's goose-stepping. It's back on the menu, folks.
Well, it's
way too.
It's the ghost of Harry Anslinger is inhabiting a lot of people who are currently upright and above ground, because they do disinformation and misinformation first and foremost, and then there's the aspect of money. We can't possibly have an alternative way of doing things also be profitable. Because it's treading on the pharmaceutical toes, and Lord knows we can't have that, you know. And then
it's treading on the court system. I figured this out 5 years ago. The last time I went to court for a weed charge, And I gave the whole court, I was respectful to the judge, but the prosecutor and the person who wanted to put me in probation for smoking a joint, I was like, I'm going to smoke a joint. I leave here. Okay. Screw you. This is my right. I'm tired of this shit. And as I walked around the court, I wasn't the only one who felt this way. They were complaining about budgets and but it's $300 every time they catch you with weed. And if they're lucky, they get to put you in $250 a month probation for 12 months, for 18 months, for 24 months. That's it's all just a money thing. And all this freedom that's broken out with, you know, tipping my hat to the turtle. In the 2018 Farm Bill, it's that and COVID are wrecking budgets. I think that's the undercurrent. Court budgets. Does that feel real, Robin?
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, look, all the, you know, the prohibition urge stems usually from religious people with their own agenda. And, you know, their God always hates the same people they hate. Funny how that works. And then and then the court jumps in because they oh, look, fines, court costs. And the next thing you know, you've got a monolith. By the way, you've been awarded a cowbell.
Or worse than that.
I'd like to award a cowbell on this conversation. This is a great convo, says Steve in New York. Cowbell delivered.
Thank you, Steve. It goes deeper than that. Oh, you caught a drug charge? Now, there's not some, you know, Congress shall make no law respecting any religion, but we're going to send you to a 12-step group. I believe in God. I was raised a Christian. I pray multiple times a day. I don't think you should send anybody to a 12-step group if they don't believe in God. I think that violates the civil rights.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it works for some. I mean, I think the success rate's, what, under 5%? But for people it works for, it works, and it's life-saving. But you've got
I think
to,
it's an option.
You've got to work it out in your own head. I mean, I know people who said, when 12-step programs talk about a higher power, the higher power can be anything. But
to make somebody sign
anything,
a paper
anything does not equal nothing.
I think it's wrong. I think the whole thing's wrong. I think testing truck drivers for cannabinoids is wrong. The whole thing is fucked. It really, really is. And nobody will fix it. So I'm leaning to starting a church with delivery service. And we'll throw our money at whoever helps. But, and we'll have a weekly Zoom meeting and we'll all smoke and prayers and sing songs. That's the best thing I've come up with at this point.
Well, the Native Americans, there's a group, or there was a group of Native Americans who have a constitutionally protected religious right to shoot peyote buttons out of Pez dispensers into the mouths of the congregants. And I would say they're on the right track as religion goes. I've been down the trail of many religious experiences over the years until I finally shook off those chains and said, it's all bullshit. I mean, to me, if it's not bullshit to you, more power to you. But at long last...
Well, I got to chime in here. I got to chime in. Okay. As a Seventh-day Adventurer who was in full rebellion, one time I went to a strip club and hung out with witches. All right, pull up your chairs. This is going to be a good one. Did I tell this story before? Have I told this story before,
so.
Robin?
I don't think so.
No, this is a great story. Okay.
Did you say witches?
So, witches, legitimate pagans.
Good.
All right?
Okay,
they were sexy as hell. Okay. So they went, hey, you want to come over? I'm like, of course I do. They said, meet us after work. So we go to their house. It looks kind of witchy. It's kind of dark with candles and everything. And they have a clear bottle of liquid that they said was acid. Now, I was used to trashy acid, which had a taste and a bite to it. They gave me a single drop, which I figured at that point was about 75 micrograms, and I didn't taste anything. So I thought it was bullshit. So subsequently, over the next 45 minutes, as they looked on in horror, I kept doing drop after drop after drop. I lost count at about 10 drops. So at about
750 mics?
50, yes. With no tolerance. I'm going to tell the shortened story. In an hour and a half, numbers didn't make sense. They were trying to wrestle my keys from me. I thought they were trying to steal my soul. No, they just legitimately didn't want me to drive. I ran out the house. I ran to my car, and I couldn't understand what 2 and 5 meant, which was the speed limit at that point. I was going through some heavy psychological shit. Amongst being that I hated my system administrator because I thought he was slow and pokey and an idiot and he was costing me deals. So somewhere between the intersection and getting on I-95 and rush hour Monday morning traffic, this is very important. I thought I saw his truck, and in my mind, he became the devil.
Oops.
So I had one of those trips where you're tripping. No, this is your new reality. Not only was he the devil, I was the son of God. And I was here on earth to kill the devil. Yes, this gets so much better. So I act out all those things that you're supposed to do that you heard about as a Seventh-day Adventurer. I literally go to a cemetery and I try to raise the dead. That didn't work. I drove up to a homeless person. Flipped open the door of my sports car and I said, "You, young faithful servant, come join me as we take over the world." He stared at me like, "You know what? I'm just homeless. I don't want to die today. You look crazy as hell." And I was. And he declined. So what I was going to do, and Horn family, this actually happened. Believe in miracles or not, whatever. I saw the black truck again. And I started chasing the black truck at 100 miles an hour, and weaving in and out of rush hour traffic. And he just kept getting faster and faster, because I think he figured I was chasing, so he was trying to get the hell away from me. And I was going to do something very destructive. And at that moment in time, in my passenger seat, a long-haired, swarthy fellow appeared. I couldn't see his face, though. You would look and it would just be diffused light. So I was like, "All right, I don't know who you are, but we're riding together." So we're riding together. The car is bouncing. His hair is bouncing. And we're talking telepathically. And he goes, "You know, you're right. Mankind sucks. People suck. This place really needs to be destroyed. You're absolutely right. But I got to ask you something." I go, "What's that, stranger I've never met?" He goes, "If you're going to destroy the world, don't you want to save your family first? I mean, isn't that kind of selfish?" And I'm like, "You know, I don't know who you are, but I like you. You're very smart." "You're right. Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. So what I'll do is I'll go save my family, bring them to Amsterdam, then I'll destroy the world." He's like, "Exactly." And I'm like, okay. So I get off the highway, specifically at 103rd Street on I-95. If you've ever been to South Florida, that's a pretty big street. I'm sitting there at the light, sitting at the intersection. And when I go under 95, all of a sudden I go from high out of my mind to really fucked up. Y'all know the difference between that, where you realize, "Oh shit, I'm fucked up." But everything's melting and wavering and just falling apart. And I left that fugue state. And I look over at the seat and dude is gone. And I call my wife at the time. She's like, "What the fuck are you doing? You're high. You're driving this, that." So I turn the car around, and that's an uncomfortable drive because I'm way too high to be driving, everything moving around. And obviously I make it home. Now I tell this story to religious people and they just shake their heads and they go, no, nothing like that could ever happen. Nope. But my takeaway from that is my God is so big. This probably is a prayer meeting Wednesday story. My God is so big that he let me pretend to be God for a little bit, and he went along with it until I was sober enough to drive. and I didn't do that stupid suicidal thing that I was set on doing. And that actually happened. So, I haven't really...
Even if it was a hallucination of Fabio in the passenger seat, it still got you home in one piece without taking anybody out. And that's a good thing.
I've had one other profound experience like that, and that was during an overdose. And I got to meet the big guy, and they all lie about the big guy. The big guy chuckled, and he was like, look at you. You're not even supposed to be here yet. You're such a scamp. And I never felt more love or more acceptance in my life. And then I was back in my body. I think my experience is why those experiences are illegal and will get you in jail for far longer than child porn or even a mass shooting, which I've always thought was intriguing in the sentencing. A sheet of acid will put you in jail longer than anything else.
You raise a good point there. It's not just the court fees and the governmental law enforcement fees or the corporate prison fees and that structure. It's the fact that the last thing they want is for people having an epiphany, because with an epiphanies and insights and understanding, it's a threat to the existing system. Is that pretty much?
It's a threat to the capitalist. It's a threat to the capitalist system.
That too.
And that's our true religion. Everything else is just window dressing.
So
a dollar, no matter what.
They would rather keep us not thinking, not questioning, under the thumb, with the threat of heavy fines and prison.
No, not just prison. Anal rape. Well, that's the subtext there.
That too. Prison and all it entails.
Yes.
Well, since we are talking about the injustices of drug prohibition, I just happen to have kind of the perfect story for it. Comes out of Atlanta from WSB TV. And back in 2015, a black trans woman named Jazima Golding was just out with friends, and two Atlanta cops stopped the friends and started asking them questions. Well, eventually they charged Jazima Golding with jaywalking, which incidentally she had not done. And then, having arrested her, they went through her purse. And we all know what a stress ball is. So the cop grabbed the stress ball, cut it open with a knife, and tested it for the presence of cocaine. The test came up negative. But the cop arrested her nonetheless for trafficking of cocaine. And
was this the cop in Atlanta or the surrounding area? This was specifically up there who he was an interdiction cop, and he said he could smell weed from a mile away.
I don't know about that, but this was coke. This is about coke. And
everything, but he had special powers.
Along the way, one of the cops used an anti-trans slur against her. And the bottom line is, they busted her and put her in jail, even though the Georgia Bureau of Investigation tested the stress ball, too, and it didn't show up. It tested negative for coke. Meanwhile, she does 6 months in jail, and they put her in a male jail where she was raped. And back in 2019, her lawyers filed a federal civil rights suit against the city of Atlanta. And a jury has finally rendered justice and given her $1.5 million.
I don't think a million and a half is justice. I think you need a couple of zeros. I really do.
No argument here. But the bottom line is, according to her lawyers, she was profiled because of her identity as a trans woman. That was it. This was transphobia in action under color of law. And the fact that the city of Atlanta drove it to trial.
Is this the city of Atlanta? This isn't one of the outskirts?
No, this is Atlanta.
Which is why I don't visit Atlanta.
WSB, they write, attorneys for the city of Atlanta defended the officer's actions throughout the trial. And the Atlanta Police Department is refusing comment or declining comment. So they got to pay her $1.5 million and they got to pay their humongous lawyer bill.
Is $1 million just because of adequate compensation?
No, it isn't. But it's,
for 6 months and a rape? I don't think so. I think it needs to be $1 billion. So everybody sits back. The largest or the smallest municipality goes,
Jerry, is if you render a verdict like that, you know, some really big, impressive number, it makes it more likely that a court on appeals will take it all away. Hell, they may take this away from her. Her only crime was being trans in public in Atlanta.
Well, my question case, Robin and Jerry, what happened to the in the police organization in Atlanta? Did any heads roll in that?
Yep.
In the judicial system in Atlanta?
No.
Did any? I mean, I'm with Jerry on this. $1 million, $1.5 million. That ain't nowhere near enough.
Right, but if the cops had been appropriately disciplined, the Atlanta Cop Union would have had kittens with purple polka dotted kittens with crochet tails.
Oh yeah.
I think there needs to be some movement to go after personal pensions or the actual cop unions themselves. That's the only way things are going to change. If during any interaction I can go against your pension, I don't know.
They need to hire up the hiring practices because.
And I was just going to add, meanwhile, one state to the west, Alabama, the vice president for student life has just resigned. Myron Pope, 50 years old.
I've heard that name before.
Well, he played for he was a walk-on on the 1992 National Championship Crimson Tide squad.
I heard, what was he, a fullback or a linebacker?
I don't remember, but he's resigned as vice president of student life because he got busted along with 14 other guys in a prostitution sting.
I'm not mad at him for that. I'm more mad at the police who are pedophiles who they find materials on their phones.
But it's interesting to the extent that he was the vice president of student life way, way, way back in like the late 1950s. And I had this story from the person who knew it firsthand. A man I knew was a senior. Did I lose you, Jerry? Damn it, I did. He was a senior and the editor of the Crimson White, which is the student newspaper. He was a journalism major. And he uncovered and broke a story of the dean of students then being a sexual abuser of students. And he published it, and it was his editorial decision. They threw him out of college. He went on to become wildly successful, nominated for a Pulitzer, headed at one point in time the one of the largest PR firms in the country. And then, lo and behold, 60 years later, here we are again. And the and of course, the Tuscaloosa police are saying things like, if buyers were not seeking commercial sexual services, sex trafficking would no longer be profitable. We hope these operations targeting buyers show that that we take this very seriously. Our goal is to prevent future exploitation of human trafficking victims who are forced or coerced into prostitution. Thing is, there weren't any prostitutes. It was a scam. It was a sting. And sex trafficking is real and horrifying. And that comes from the prohibition. That's what lets the sex traffickers operate, is the prohibition.
So he was caught up in a sting, not even an actual encounter with a sex worker.
Right.
Jesus.
He was charged with misdemeanor soliciting prostitution. And that's does the Netherlands, you know, where prostitution is legal and the sex workers have to go for frequent medical checkups and, you know, health maintenance and all of that, and they are legally protected and, you know, have rights. Is there a horrible sex trafficking problem in the Netherlands?
No. No. Because in the Netherlands, you have a government and you have citizens who see the wisdom in handling things appropriately and correctly and intelligently, whereas in this country, you know, we're dumber than a box of rocks.
So the question arises then, I mean, out at out in Nevada, where there's legal prostitution. Is sex trafficking a problem? Because, see, a legal brothel, I would guess, is going to be disinclined to hire someone with anything resembling the whiff of sex trafficking. Because it can cost them their entire business, right?
Right.
I mean, I just really... I find the story, you know, the story 60 years ago was about a guy who really was doing evil things. This guy, Myron Pope, and 14 others, apparently, well, I mean, I don't, the it's deep, the story is detail thin. But it's especially when you put it side by side with the story of a woman who really was deprived of her civil rights, subjected to sexual assault in a male prison.
On the basis of bogus, quote, evidence.
Right. Well, evidence that even the cop agreed wasn't evidence, but he arrested her just the same.
I'm telling you, we got a long way to go in this country, and we're not going there. They steadfastly refuse to behave appropriately, and with some degree of intelligence and or wisdom, and or actual justice with a capital J. And the reason they do that is there are too many benefits and goodies for not doing it that way. It's a built-in bias to the system. I'm pretty sure that we can never even consider, contemplate going down that road, because the goodies are taken away. There are too many bennies and goodies.
Right, and so meanwhile, Scott, let's compare that with a man from Athol, A-T-H-O-L. I bet our buddy Kevin and Carl and others in Massachusetts know where that is, was arrested this past Friday for his participation in the January 6, 2021 coup against constitutional governance. And back home in Massachusetts, they recognized him and pointed out that Vincent J. Gillespie, age 60, who has been charged with grabbing a police shield and using it as a battering ram in the attack on the Capitol. Well, he had a history, Athol Republican noted. Back in 2005, he made headlines when he took a case all the way to the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court over a $15 parking ticket. It cost him $250 in filing fees. Impossible to get back. Win, lose, or draw. And he argued in court that the filing fee was unconstitutional. Well, he got his $15 back, but not the $275 that he spent. And so, lo and behold, and you know, that's kind of a human disinterest story, if you know what I mean. But, by the way, he was a 9/11 truther and wrote about the hidden power structure in the world. Probably guess what that means.
Reptilian shapeshifters, I'm guessing.
With Jewish space lasers, no doubt.
With the tips cut off. That's how you can tell they're Jewish space lasers. Everybody knows it.
Jesus, really?
But listen, what is
and so it, and so it, all I'm pointing out is that there seems to be, you know, once you're sucked into the fringe, you just keep going fringier. There's another good example. Do you remember the blonde lady who threw the fit over ballots in Michigan?
Oh, yes.
There was something distinctly Victoria Jackson-esque about her.
Yeah, I forget her name, but I know who you're talking about.
Her name is Melissa Carone.
Yes.
And she had been a contractor for Dominion Voting Systems. And she said that ballots were being smuggled in Michigan. Well, by God, she's running for office in Macomb County, Michigan. And it's a blood Macomb, M-A-C-O-M-B.
Yeah.
And it's so blood red that the Democrats didn't even run a candidate. So there's a chance this woman will wind up in the Michigan legislature.
Well, I've got a question now. I want to get, was the man's name Gillespie, the previous?
Yeah, Vincent J. Gillespie.
What is his current status?
He's been arrested.
That's where he stands at this point.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And it took over a year to find him.
And I, you know, I'm all for people standing up for their rights, real or perceived. But when you spend, what did you say, $200 and some odd to fight a $15
parking ticket? Yes.
Parking ticket. I mean, this gives you an idea of who we're up against. And it's not going to go away of its own accord either. That's the other.
He was charged with assaulting, resisting, or impeding officers, civil disorder, engaging in physical violence in a restricted building or grounds, and other offenses.
Did he poop on the floor?
I hope someday we can find out who pooped on the floor.
I want to go.
All of them who pooped on the floor.
I want to be the sketch artist in the federal court covering that trial. I just do. It's.
There's nothing in the article about whether he was released on bond, whether he was jailed.
Does it say why it took so long to find him? Because he's a known entity in his.
He was wearing a shirt from a health club in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, And I guess it took that long for them to circulate the photo in Pittsfield and say, anybody know this guy?
I don't want to body shame him, but I'll bet you he was a perfect candidate for a health club membership.
It's hard to say. I mean, there's a picture of him trying to, it's just a headshot, but he's bloody in the head.
Jesus.
From brawling. I mean, God.
And here's where we are, Robin. Here's where we are. And we the marching orders are, we do not want to be caught napping, for the future as far out as you can see it, because they take full advantage of that.
Yeah,
don't they? I mean,
yeah, they do. They do.
And even when we know, even when we've, I think it was the Virginia Beach office of the FBI had some sort of foreknowledge of the events of the following day or 2 days from there, being January 6th, that some shit was going down. And it's like, Jesus, we have got to be alert.
And then just, and this is kind of, it's kind of gossipy, but by the same token, it's not. This is actual news. Tucker Carlson, Tucky O'Rose, decided that he would erase AOC's ethnicity. He accused her of being a privileged white woman. She's not. And she of course, you know, you'd think that these white wingers would finally learn, Scott, but they don't. And so last Friday, he did a 20-minute long segment and declared, because he and his whiteness has naturally the power to make these declarations, that she's not a woman of color. And she did not respond nicely. I mean, he even went after a video that she made like in 2019, where she was putting together some furniture from, of course, IKEA. And in the video, she says, "I'm alone today." And Tucky O'Rose said, "Is it just us, or does that sound like an invitation for a booty call?"
Do what?
Yeah.
It, well, we are, I mean, after all, we are dealing with Tucker here, and Tucker is just, I think his bow tie was too tight for too long, and it cut off the blood supply to what brain matter he has.
Responding to the not a white woman thing, AOC went to Twitter and said, "This is the type of stuff you say when your name starts with a P and ends with Dejo. Pendejo, asshole." And then she kept hammering on him and said, "I genuinely want to know why Tucker Carlson is allowed paid to engage in clear, targeted, libelous harassment that endangers people and drives so many violent threats that people have to fundraise for their own safety. Why should they have to pay for his harassment? Make it make sense." And she added, "It's not just within," because, you know, she's so much smarter than him. "It's not within the realm of political commentary, and it's not just me. He regularly targets people that do not have access to resources for protection. Once he gets to fantasizing about booty calls of women on national TV, I cease to see the political value outside of incitement." And so now the wing nuts are saying, "Oh my God, she melted down."
Even if
she, well, he's putting out stochastic terrorism in hopes that somebody will kill or rape her.
Even if AOC was putting together an IKEA bed frame, that still doesn't constitute a booty call. That's putting together your furniture.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly Well, we shouldn't even have to justify it. It's just sleazy and scummy and slimy. And so also over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, we have, of course, the life support system for a haircut, the Hannity job.
Oh, dear.
And so he has called, he told Hillary Clinton to bring it on. And sue him for defamation, because all Hillary did was say that malice, really? It's called news. You know, that's what Hannity Job said, because she said actual malice is a thing and it's actionable. And the Hannity Job said, Hillary, we invite you to bring it on.
Well, I invite the Horn family to do what I like to do. If you have right-wing relatives visiting, or if you visit at their house, it can work either way. Most people don't change the default password on their TV setup to add or delete channels. Child block Fox News and child block OAN on their cable system when they come to your house or when you go to their house, and only you will know the code to get to reinstate the channel on their TV. It drives them crazy. They start chewing on furniture legs. It's a fun thing to do.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I wish I could just bring you in together. But Todd's trying to get in, Scott, and I just because of the way this is, I can't tie the two calls together.
Okay, well, I will listen to you and Todd, because I know that there's a wealth of good stuff ahead for me and the rest of the Horn family. So,
all right, let me jump over there, okay? See ya.
Okay, take care.
Todd, are you there?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah,
there you are.
Hello? Yeah, let me cut the music off. Am I on now? Oh, I'm talking quietly.
You're good.
Oh, delay. Am I on? Hello, Scott. Can you hear
me? No, Scott. Scott's not with us now.
Oh.
Because I had to jump off with him in order to bring you on.
Oh, I was trying to. Okay. Well. Anyway.
I tell you what. If you want to, I'll stop this. And Scott, if you're listening, jump back in, and I'll go over to the different channel where I can merge calls, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you in a minute. All right, Scott, jump back in. Todd wants to talk to you. And let's see, there's Scott. And now all we got to do is... get Todd in. Okay, so I got you, Scott, right?
Yep.
Let me see here. This is the kind of stuff Sparky does. I'm not very good at it.
Merging them calls.
Hello?
Okay, good. Oh, look, it worked. Good. Some days the magic works.
Hey, Todd, baby, come on, poopsie.
How you doing?
I'm better than average. You know that. How are you
better
doing?
Than the average. I'm good. You know what? You guys are having a nice conversation. So I just wanted to call it disrupted because, you know, I'm a disruptor.
All right, go for it.
No, I'm just kidding. I want to ask a question of both of you. First of all, this Ukraine thing is very unsettling because of the ramifications, I think. And, you know, I know it's international stuff, but, you know, this is exactly what we said would happen in a way. You know, everything that the last president did was going to weaken NATO.
Well, that's the ultimate goal. Oh, and by the way, Kevin, up in Massachusetts, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, got us a little more detail on Mr. Gillespie from Athol. It's in Berkshire County. Pittsfield's about 60 miles from Athol in Berkshire County. Gillespie was released on $10,000 unsecured bond, and now he has to get rid of three guns. Which I'm sure are which I'm sure he views as a violation of his Second Amendment rights.
Let me ask you this: how would you pronounce the name of that place if you didn't have a lisp?
It's actually spelled Athol.
A big one, I'd say. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I don't know. Maybe, you know, didn't even go, you know, just arrested him, put him on bond, told him to sell his guns. Oh, well.
That's never going to go away. The gun issue, that's baked in the cake. It's too late. If I'm serious, even if it's perceived that the government is trying to take people's guns, then there'll be a civil war. I mean, I'm just telling you as a fact. Like, the people are out there. They're not playing around.
Well, and if there is, it's going to be. And I don't even like admitting the possibility. But in some ways, Todd, it's already here. Okay, there a woman was murdered in Portland last night when some protesters gathered, and some dude came out with a gun and started shooting. Five people were wounded. One woman was killed. You know, maybe it's time we start redefining things like murder in this country. You know, when young Herr Rittenhouse showed up in Kenosha, you know, he didn't go there to protect businesses. He went there to participate in political violence. At best, he had a cop fetish.
Well, Robin Scott, that's a segue. That's exactly the question I was going to ask both of you. Between guns and privilege, because this is heavy on my heart. That's why I'm kind of interrupting you in a way, but it's related to what you're talking about. Minutes ago, on the television, you see the face of the murderers of Ahmaud Arbery.
Right.
And the son looks so aggrieved, like he's been wronged. I mean, you can, just watching with the volume off, it's like, what is wrong with him? I mean, this was like something out of a movie, you know, Deep South. If you've ever been to Brunswick, I'm going to tell you, it is the Deep South. It's misty and moist.
Been there.
Spanish moss everywhere. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Right. So chasing someone down in a pickup truck, an unarmed person, and then shooting them with a shotgun? A shotgun? Yeah. That's not like a pistol.
Oh, no. It goes in like a baseball and comes out like a basketball. Because you know this guy, you know those guys weren't. I mean, I don't know the forensics of it, but you know those guys weren't running around with four shot or six shot. No, they're badass second, isn't it? So they, you know, double up buck.
Yeah.
There's a speed limit sign on the shortcut that I take to get out of the highway here, and somebody one night decided to shoot the 35 mile an hour sign with some double up buck, and you can tell it was double up buck.
Because it's right there.
I mean, it's double ot buckshot size.
That's it. And these are just words, but until someone has seen what a shotgun can do, you don't get what it can do to the human body. Like that close? Like,
yeah, like I said, goes in like a baseball, comes out like a basketball.
Yeah. So, now, but here's the other part that I'm not hearing enough of on the media that really irritates me. And and I'm not anti-society or anything like that, but both of these, either one or both of these people were in law enforcement for years.
Yeah. That has been mentioned, but yeah.
All right. So how many lives did they ruin along the way that we don't even know about?
Sure. It's like, I forget it was the dirty cop in Louisiana, Stan, who got busted for child pornography, child sexual assault, and his wife participated, and she's pleading out and turning state's evidence. What I said, talking about that story the other night, was that every case that monster ever touched should be reopened. Because you can't separate criminal conduct of a child sexual nature away from criminal conduct in other cases too, and they need to be, every case needs to be reopened and investigated and find out where he was dirty. I remember we had a horrible scandal here in West Virginia, Todd, over the state police lab. Because the guy, the head of the lab was fabricating evidence, and every case he touched had to be reopened because he lied about lots of stuff.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at when you and Jerry and I were on tied in together. What are the hiring practices for the police agencies around the country? And what are the mindsets of some of the people, maybe a good number of the people, who apply for those jobs? I'm sure that there are law enforcement officers who are decent people, but they're, I'm afraid, are in the minority in a lot of places in this country, and they're wired differently somehow than the rest of us. And they're wired in such a way as to be, oh, I don't know, is racist too hard a term? And that ought to be frightening to people, not only people of color, but all people who are decent and reasoning. Do you get where I'm going? I mean...
Yeah, I absolutely do. And by the way, I think...
go ahead.
I think I have managed to add in... Steve in New York.
I think it's Steve.
Are you there, Steve?
Good evening.
Guten Abend.
You have to excuse the dogs. Here's the deal. Here's what you all are
missing
the forest for the trees.
Okay.
We have to step back. We need to realize that we keep saying in this country the police blah blah blah. It's not this country. You can look at any country around the world where there's a police and see a police presence and see the same thing. The UK is having this too. The UK just London, the Met in London, just busted a bunch of people for racist, transphobic, homophobic, I mean, just horrible shit on WhatsApp messages going around and among cops on duty. There was another big thing. The woman's name is Sarah Everard, Everard, a cop on duty, raped her. He approached her, basically said, "Hi, I'm a cop. I'm here to do whatever I'm going to do." Used his power and raped her. So there's something. What's the phrase? There's something rotten in
Denmark,
Des Moines, or something. Yeah, about people who want to be cops. So there's two things we need to, and this is something specific to the U.S. is the qualified immunity is the first thing we need to get rid of, because in the U.K. they don't have it anymore. They got rid of it, but there's still a problem. So what that says is It is a cultural thing worldwide. It's not just hiring practices. There is something about people who seek to be cops.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff has been documented.
I don't know what it is.
It's a combination of things, Steve. One of the things is that traditionally, it's changed. It's changed in some places. I mean, Jesus, you can make a good living being a member of the NYPD. Between regular pay and overtime, I mean, you can get north of six figures.
Overtime.
But in other places, you know, people, you know, graduate high school. I mean, here in this state, be a town cop, you graduate high school, you want to be a cop, so you get hired and you get a probationary period, and they send you to the state police academy for 6 weeks. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, bang, you're a cop. And you're not particularly well paid, but you got the muscle car, and you got the gun and the taser and the pepper spray and the baton, and you get to wield power over people who once wielded power over you, and the worm turns.
Right.
So it's an already authoritarian system, so it's just set up for abuse.
I'd like to add on to what you said, Robin.
Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
Because we have empirical evidence that would indicate that many law enforcement agencies will not hire someone who is too intelligent.
No, they won't. The case was out of, I think, New York City.
I was just thinking about that.
A guy was rejected for employment by, I think, the NYPD because his IQ was too high.
Well, it was even worse than that. It was, as I recall, it was like a promotion to sergeant.
No, I think this was a refusal to hire. Maybe I'm wrong.
But I know generally what you're talking about, because I was just going to say that.
But
I think the other thing, too.
Mm-hmm,
go ahead,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to maybe add a different perspective on to what you said about the United States versus the rest of the world, because I'm looking at some statistics here.
I'm not saying just the rest of the world. I mean, I'm not saying the whole world. What I'm saying is this is not a unique problem here.
No, but it's so bad here is what I'm saying. So look at England, and this is from 2015. Okay, England and Wales, they had 55 fatal police shootings in 24 years. And during the same time period in the United States where we live, 59 in 24 days.
Oh, no, I know that. But that, I think that has less to do with the culture than it does to the fact that cops in England, on the ones on the beat, don't carry guns.
Well, that's part of it. But our Germany, all right, 15.
They don't carry guns either.
That's not true. They do.
Yes,
carry
it
guns.
Is, because I've actually seen the. I was in I was in a town, and the cops. I saw the cops stop somebody and get out. No guns. Some of them do. They have to be. They're like special forces. But the regular cop on the beat does not carry a gun in Germany.
Well, here we have Australia versus the United States. 94 fatal police shootings in between 1992 and 2011. And 94 versus 97, except we're talking about 1992 through 2011 versus United States, 97 in 1 year.
But when was Port Arthur? Port Arthur?
98?
I don't know.
Yeah, because at that point is when basically Australia said no guns. So I hear what you're saying, but that's not. I don't think that's only a cultural issue. It strikes me that if you wanted to compare that aspect to different police forces, you'd have to somehow control for the lack of. Prevalence of guns in other countries. They don't have the proliferation. So there's not the opportunity. But the abuse of, you know, the abuse, the cover-ups, Jesus, is just as bad. That's my point.
Well, right. And I, you know, I think what you're saying maybe is that, you know, it's a cultural thing that people are gravitated toward these type of authoritarian positions for a reason. Like Robin was saying, you know, you just a nobody, all of a sudden you can drive a fast car and carry a gun and feel big and bad and tell people what to do, what you always wanted to do. And because, I mean, it's this uncanny. If you have lived in a rural area and you can almost point out who is a prison guard, you know, they're just different. Mm-hmm. They are very, and, oh my God. And in fact, there's some podcasts out there where they interview some of these folks. I know one is Ira Glass's podcast, and there's a couple of just quite interesting. So I'm not, you know, I'm not disagreeable. I'm just saying that the United States is different. Right, who is that? Is that Tracy?
Can I jump in with a listening tip for you and Todd and Robin and the Horn family? If you go to YouTube and put in the Berkeley, as in Berkeley University concert, the Berkeley concert, it's the entirety of a Lenny Bruce double album. And he does a bit on there about law enforcement, about how the law came into being. And it lays it out brilliantly. If you can go to YouTube and look up the Berkeley concert and get the Lenny Bruce Berkeley concert, you'll have to listen to the whole album to find the cut. But I'm telling you, it is amazing and brilliant. And he did it back in 64, I think. So he had their number long before a lot of us thought there was even a problem. You should definitely check that out.
Definitely. Let me see. One other thing. I think we really need to have an honest discussion. What, you know, Robin, we've talked about this. What do cops do? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not being facetious. I see cops standing along the road, the street here in my neighborhood, people riding around in the neighborhood all hours of the night, with music so loud that it makes my bed vibrate, and I live on the fourth floor.
Not in Queens.
Cops do nothing. Yeah. They do nothing. Nothing. I see them standing on the subway, no masks, even though there's a mandate on the subway, you have to wear a mask. What's my point? My point is, I think we really have to ask ourselves, what do cops do? What do they do? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't fucking know. They don't stop crime. They show up after a crime is committed. I see noise nuisances all over the place. They don't do a thing about that. I see them on the subway, not wearing masks. I see them harassing people who call them to account for not wearing masks and kicking people off the subway. Yeah, there's a video of that. What do they do? And then the second thing is, we need to start asking ourselves, what do we want them to do?
Most cops are great. And otherwise, we'd have chaos. I'm telling you.
I don't agree with you. Todd, I don't agree with you.
Well, look, but the problem is, it's the institution is what makes people rotten. Just like if you have someone stealing at work and then, you know, who wants to tell on their coworker? Who wants to do that? You see, it's a culture. That's why either you're going to move up and be a detective or you're going to, you know, stay with the scum. It's, you know, because we have to have police. There are bad people in this world. Not a whole lot. That's the funny thing. It's a small amount of people that commit a lot of the crime. It's a very small percentage of people. But
I don't agree with you.
Okay.
I don't agree that we need cops. Why do we need them?
Well, guess what? You don't have them and see what happens.
But what? Okay.
Well, because
what do they do?
Because the alternative is vigilantism. plain and simple.
I guess the alternative is like what
police are always the biggest gang. And somebody is going to enforce the law. I mean, we call them law enforcement. We don't call them law prevention or crime prevention. We call them law enforcement. And I really think, and I think this is actually the most important aspect of this debate, defund the police is a profoundly great way for us to get our asses kicked. I know what it means. You know what it means. Todd knows what it means. Scott knows what it means. Everybody in this community knows what defund the police means. It doesn't mean abolish the police. It means let's rethink how we do policing. You know, if you've got somebody in a mental health crisis threatening to harm themselves, the answer is not to send a roller up and have him blow him away, because that happened recently. Again, some more.
Remember that one? Yeah, remember the one case up in upstate New York where the guy had might have been a psychotic episode. He's out naked in the middle of the night, and they put had a euphemistic name for a hood over his head.
To calm him down. Yeah, that makes people say they don't.
Yeah, because he was spitting. He was spitting. Well, Robin, look, I'm not in the mainstream on this. I am an abolish the police person. And I'm not kidding you. I really am. Because when I got assaulted, on the subway, it was kind of I kind of invited it. I won't get into that. But what I did didn't match what happened to me. Somebody, I don't know what happened. I don't remember it. I must have been knocked out. Broke my nose. I got up, got out. The last thing I wanted to do was call the cops. Because what I do remember is that the guy who did it, I do remember he had a red mask on, and I remember he was a black dude. The last thing I did, I would not call the cops because I didn't trust them, if they found the person, to not show up and kill him. So I would much rather have gone through that than call the fucking cops and have them do their thing with another black man. Now, maybe, I know I am completely, completely on the fringes on this. I know I am.
Well,
do acknowledge it's a political loser, right?
Of course. Of course. That's why I say I'm the fringe. Robin, I'm the fringe, right? I know I am.
Where's the cowbell? There's a
Steve, I think what you're describing, and far be it for me to put words in your mouth, although that would be the right place to put words. What you're talking about, it's when you dial 911 in some places, too many places, I'm afraid, it's a crapshoot. You don't know who's going to show up. It ain't like pizza, where they're you know, you call your favorite pizza place and it's always good each and every time. Okay, please tip your.
And if it's cold, nobody dies.
Yeah, with that too. So what you're saying is there's no uniformity. It's a crapshoot. When you dial 911, you're taking as many chances as you are opening yourself up to crime.
You're being way too kind. I don't look at it that way. I'm going to give you two stories, and I don't know if I've ever articulated this. Go back to 2003, I think it was in January. I'm on the commuter train, my final semester of law school. I'm on the commuter train waiting for the damn train. I'm late to class. My partner's with me. And I'm late to class. Two or three trains just come to the station, pass us by. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? I get on the courtesy phone on the platform. I said, where's the fucking train? And I hung the phone up. and a piece of the receiver popped off the phone. I didn't see it happen. And I'm standing there. There's a woman standing there. She says, "Don't you hit me." And I remember thinking to myself, I didn't touch you. And I realized when the thing flipped off, it hit her. Well, I picked the thing up, put it back on the phone. Train finally came. I get on the train. The fucking cops stopped the train. There was about 10 of them over something like that. They frog marched me off there. Some big fat fuck bald-headed cop who I wanted to put a bullet in his head.
Ah, don't say that.
No, let me tell you something. This put me into therapy. I was very lucky. My law school actually paid for me to go to therapy at the main campus of school every Wednesday. A car picked me up, a car took me there, and the car waited for me to come out. Okay, yes. It was just, you know, that was my reaction. I wouldn't do anything like that. I don't own a gun. I'm not a violent person. Not only did they do this to me, and I never will forget the guy, I'm walking with my hands cuffed behind my back, and I'm walking, and the guy says, "Walk right." And I'm thinking to myself, well, I mean, the only way I know how to walk is left foot, right foot, left foot. And they not only did this shit to me, but my partner was there, and he was following it far back because he was like, "I want to just find out what's going on." And they started harassing him. "We're going to arrest you if you continue." And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? So I sat in a cell all day. I got marched into, I got printed and mugged and all that. Final semester of law school, by the way. Then I had to go. And what they charged me with, I think it was called criminal mischief. Well, criminal mischief in New Jersey is less, it's lower on the totem pole than a parking ticket.
Yeah.
Well, it gets even worse. These fuckers wrote the ticket. So in New Jersey, there aren't felonies and misdemeanors. It's, I can't remember there's a distinction. But anyway, when it's a felony, you go to a secondary court where the court reads your rights to you again, telling you about jail time and blah, 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 blah. Oh, it's indictable and non-indictable offenses. The only time you would go to this particular court if it's an indictable offense. Criminal mischief, a speeding ticket or a parking ticket is not an indictable offense. And I get in there, and the case gets called, and the judge looks at me, and he says, "Why are you here? This is for indictable crime. This is not an indictable crime. Why are you here? You'll never convince me that they didn't do that on purpose."
Sounds like a simple case of mopery with intent to malinger.
So I have a lawyer. I end up having to pay. Well, first of all, in the criminal complaint, they said I repeatedly banged the phone down. I know that didn't happen. So we resolved the case. I had to pay restitution, no criminal charges. But part of the settling was I got to see the video. They gave me a number to call to talk to somebody to see the video. I called the number probably 5, 6, 8, 10 times. Nobody ever answered. I finally get a person to answer. I tell them the situation, that this was the condition that I had to call to see the video. "Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about. You have to file a freedom of information law, Kate. You have to file a freedom of information law request. It's called FOIL in New Jersey." All this over a broken phone. That's the first instance. The second instance was when I was in my freshman year of college. I was home on Christmas break. I'd been away at GW in DC for the semester, went back to Dayton, and I was with a friend of mine who was actually a very esteemed professor at Amherst College in Massachusetts right now, who just got tenure. He was in college at the time. He is a black man. I think he had fairly long dreads at the time. I'm just telling you to give you a flavor for what these pigs saw. So we're driving around, I stop in the middle of nowhere, and I just get out of my car, and I'm sitting on the hood of the car looking up at the stars, saying, "Wow, I haven't seen stars in so long because I've lived in D.C." And the cops pull up behind me, shine the light. "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just looking at the stars." And I look over and see my friend sitting there, frozen, with his hands seated in the car still, his hands down at his side, not moving. And it was that experience and the thing that happened to me in law school that made me, first of all, the second story I told you, that was my illustration of, oh, now I see how a black man interacts with the cop or the police. I see how different that is. You know, I was a freshman in college. I probably didn't understand much beyond that. And frankly, I still don't understand it all that much because it's never happened to me. There are certain things that I will never understand. I will never understand what it's to be a black man in America. I can try to acknowledge.
That's where the empathy comes in.
Yeah. Like with you, Robin, the shit that you, there's probably shit that you've dealt with that you've never even talked about.
Yeah.
Being a trans woman who is a, what was the term Matt used? What's that term? Not unusually, exceedingly tall woman or whatever it is.
Oh, suspiciously large woman.
You're a tall, yeah, an SLF, SLW. That and whatever. And you talked about being misgendered a number of times. That's something I can be conscious of from my perspective to not do it, to understand where you're coming from. But I can empathize, but never sympathize, because I'm never going to go through that.
Well, you know, yeah, but I think the empathy is the more important part, Steve.
No, I understand, and I mean, it's like the distinction I can observe it, but never feel it.
It's like the distinction I draw between understanding and accepting. I don't need people to understand why I'm trans. Gay people don't need people to understand why they're gay. And I dare say, although, Todd, you jump in here and correct me, black people don't need people to understand why they're black. It's not something that's subject to understanding. But what matters is acceptance. In my case, what matters is acceptance. Please just accept that I am who I am, and I know who I am, and that I don't need anybody else to tell me who I am. You know, there are stories out there about about trans kids all the time where their parents, you know, say, "Well, you know, God made you a boy and you're always going to be a boy." And Scott, you were talking about how brilliant Natalie is over at ContraPoints. She was halfway through a PhD in philosophy. She thinks real good.
And articulates it brilliantly.
And she dissected the, you know, what does it mean? You know, chromosomes were discovered when? And people make the argument, you know, you're always going to have a Y chromosome. We didn't even know about chromosomes until the 1950s. So people were... You see how silly it is?
But when you explain it this way, it shows how absurd the you're always going to have a Y chromosome is. Doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, some asshole took the time to attack me on Reddit one time.
Jesus.
And you know, they, and it was the same day, the same person went all over trans women's posts and posted the same evil shit. And I'm trying to see if I can find it here.
Right. But let me, and real quick, explain. All I'm saying is I use those two experiences to say why I don't like the cops.
Yeah. Oh, here it is.
I don't know
here,
what
here, here, let me just share.
Steve?
Let me,
wait a minute. Let Robin.
Let me just share this with you. This particular asshole, and they came along and deleted it, so I can't even find it now. But I got warned on Reddit. And it was all about, you know, your ring finger will always be longer than your index finger. That's because you're really a man. Your navel will be higher on your abdomen because you're always going to be a man. And it was just a business of being deliberately hurtful. But I got warned for the response that I gave the freak. I said, you know, while I was shaving her back last night, I asked her mom why she thought you turned out to be such an entirely loathsome thing. I'm not sure, she replied, but it may be because I birthed him rectally instead of vaginally. He's been a piece of crap from day one. Oh, well, the time you spent typing that garbage is time you didn't spend having sex with children, so that's a plus.
Oh,
God.
And when something truly awful happens in your life, remember your post here. Whatever that awful thing is, you subhuman fecal deposit, you earned it. Bye.
My God.
I give that
and
a
the lesson
snap.
Is, yeah, a and the snap. Lesson is, don't mess with Robin Kincaid.
hey, I have a hillbilly. Scott, I appreciate your recommendation on YouTube, and I know what you're talking about. And this is what I'm talking about is on Netflix, but I just pulled it up, and I rarely use the computer when we're talking, but I'm doing it right now. So I can be, you know, I don't, there'd be no confusion here.
Okay.
This documentary is called American Revolution 2. And I thought it was only on Netflix, but apparently anyone can watch it. It's on ChicagoFilmsArchives.org. But this shows the coalition between a Chicago chapter of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and the Young Patriots, a hillbilly organization. And someone, whoever, this is raw footage. Like somebody just came in with a camera. This is not fancy. This, you're seeing the, like live and direct what these people are talking about in their meetings and what happens to them. You can't stop watching this. It's not that long. It is amazing. We're still fighting these same battles today. And what you're talking about, one of these hillbillies, he didn't say he was gay, but you could tell he was gay because he kept saying how the cops beat him up, and he finally came out in the meeting. Well, you know, he was at the house of a, you know, back then, that was a big deal, a homosexual, you know. And so the cops beat him up for no reason, you know, knocked his teeth out and everything. And he's
well,
a real hillbilly.
What they were doing, they were beating the gay out of him, Todd.
Well, you know, right. So right, and it, but to see the black these Black Panthers right with the hillbillies, and they're like, we got it, we're gonna get this together, and they did. Man, this shit is dynamic. I mean, yeah. It's really, it's like
why that's why it was so dangerous.
Well, I believe I've seen that, Todd, and if it's the thing I'm thinking about, it was beyond brilliant. But
so you know what I'm
what mm-hmm. I was gonna mention to Steve is. There's a term that I use sometimes in regards to you and your professor with the dreadlocks experience. You have a sense. You can never be him, but you have a sense of what it's like to be him. And that's the problem. A lot of people don't have a sense. They won't get out of themselves long enough to even have a sense of somebody. I mean, their nose is either buried in their navel or their head is up their ass. So that they never have they never take the opportunity to have a sense of someone else. And therein is a big chunk of the problem, I think.
Well, and admittedly, my experience was accidental. I mean, and it, all I'm saying, I only relay that to, I'm not, my reason for articulating that was only to demonstrate why I don't like cops. Those two reasons are why I don't like cops. They scare me too.
Yeah, and by the way, Arthur responded earlier saying some factors of increasing police violence: the increase of right-wing militia groups, an effort from these groups to infiltrate police and the military, penetration of the military-industrial complex to sell surplus gear to police departments, the rise of for-profit prisons, and decreasing county-state revenue from tax cuts. I mean, it gets complicated when you start power modeling, and those are all
that's
valid.
A big part of it.
And I have to, I want to make sure I share this from our dear sister Jude. She said, it's a personally revealing program tonight, Robin dear. She said, Todd, I've drawn upon your statement of standing right next to me when needed. It's helped enormously. I hope it doesn't drain you. Yet when focused on one's ability to shift energy to a higher level, my sense is it will not be a burden. Peace to all. And thank you, Jude. Thank you so much. And by the way, the challenge from Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey 2, the kangaroo, that challenge has been met. So the fundraising goal is now down to $270 for this evening to begin the week, with six broadcast days left in the month. So thank you. Thank you, dear Jude. And I guess we got to wrap this up because we're 6 minutes over time. And
ooh, I didn't realize that. Sorry. Yeah,
that's okay. I love these conversations. They could go all night, but I can't go all night. Because, 3 hours in the chair is more difficult than it used to be. I've loved the conversation all the way. I think we need at least a giggle on the way out the door. Because there was, it's never a bad time for a Marjorie Trader gangrene cue ball story.
Here we go.
Yeah, she went on the program hosted by Alex Jones, and she complained that they treat me like I'm crazy. She doesn't understand. No, they treat me like I'm crazy. And yet,
like she's crazy.
And yet, the problem is, last Thursday on The View, Joy Behar said she's going to keep wearing a mask in public even after the CDC says we can take them off. And she said it right at the top of the program. And she said, personally, I listen to the little voice in my head that doesn't really follow 100% what they tell me because they keep changing it. A very short time ago, they were saying put the N95 masks on, and now make sure and now they're saying you don't have to wear them anymore. So if I go on the subway, if I go in a bus, if I go in the theater, a crowded place, I'd wear a mask, and I might do that indefinitely. Why do I need the cold or flu? And so I'm listening to myself right now. I don't think it's 100% safe yet. Right, and necessarily, or alongside this, Bojo the Clown over in the UK has dropped practically every limitation or restriction or request or recommendation for public health relating to the coronavirus. Because the goddess of irony is a hilarious goddess, he did that at the same time that Buckingham Palace announced that the coin has COVID. I mean, it reminded me
you know
of something.
The worst part of what Bojo did?
What?
Oh, sorry.
Well, no, what
they
I was going to say is
eliminated free testing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, no, it's just like Nitwit Nero said, you know, if we don't test so much, we won't have so many cases.
That's exactly what it is.
And so we're just going to keep having this. And people keep dying, but we're just not going to have the numbers. But it reminded me when I heard that the coin has
Wait, this is supposed to be a giggle. This is not funny.
Well, no, we'll get there. Has the Rona. It reminded me that, oddly enough, one of the people who did not die, I don't know how odd it is, one of the people who did not die during the Black Plague in the 14th century was the Pope at Avignon. And the reason he didn't die, he thought at the time, was because he kept the heat really high in the papal accommodations at Avignon. Turns out, though, it was because it was a nice, clean palace that didn't have any fucking rats in it. But the Pope survived the Black Plague, and you know, when I saw, you know, Buckingham Palace, I was like, huh, just like the Pope at Avignon in the 14th century, with regard. Okay, but the giggle part. Well, when Joy Behar said she was going to keep wearing a mask, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball and Trader Tot had a meltdown. Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball addressed the issue. God damn it, why won't this thing open? You know, they ran off to Twitter to have a public conniption, and Little Miss Three Names said, and the, you know, this is good, that's not it. Dang it, I hate it when the links don't work. But anyway, she had a meltdown over Joy Behar covering her mouth in perpetuity.
Jesus Christ.
Trader Tot said, that, you know, great, we'll never have to hear it. But anyway, but the best part was the complaining to Alex Jones that people think she's crazy. Okay.
I have to, can I say something that's funny? This was courtesy of Scott in San Diego.
Uh-oh.
He remarked to me about the gazpacho police. He says it wasn't nearly as bad as the spinach inquisition.
Yeah, no, that was, I saw that. That was freaking brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, when I saw that, I'm
nobody
like,
expects
wow,
the spinach inquisition.
That's unbeatable there.
God, now see,
when Scott said that,
I'll get upbraided again, but I want some cream. Now I want some freaking cream spinach. Damn it.
Ooh, I love cream spinach.
Yeah, I know.
Who doesn't?
Ron and Raleigh doesn't.
I don't.
Well, you know what, Ron?
Well, you're a bad person, Steve. I mean, we all know that.
That's true. I'm not. No arguments here.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. Washington Journal, okay. There's a woman. Now, I'm calling names. I'm getting old. I don't care. I used to listen to Jeff Rentz a lot just to see what they were talking about, right? And it's just as bad as you might think it is. So Jeff Rentz, he would have this, like, guest slash common, you know, contributor. Her name is Patty, and she lives in Connecticut. And she has an unmistakable voice because she sounds like a fifth of scotch and a carton of Pall Malls. And I'm just getting started. Got a voice.
A lucky strike.
I gotta tell you that.
Yeah, Selma Diamond.
Somehow she calls in about every 8.2 days. You know, you're supposed to call in once a month if you're going to call in. I don't even know how, that's what I'm saying. She got a bunch of burnt. She has something because she has, you know, broadcast contraption so she can push herself through. These people cannot, they're like, why do you keep beating up on Trump? He has got president. I'm like, Russia was a hoax. You know, and so, you know, at this point, I don't know what we're going to do, honestly. This is not funny. It's not cute. And, you know, where the hell are we? Where are we?
Todd, is that your way of reminding me that it's been too long since
Todd, is that your way to of reminding me it's been too long since I've called in to Washington Journal?
Yeah, maybe.
You need to call in.
Listen,
with Sense and Sensibility. Yes.
Do you really want to waste your Sense and Sensibility on there?
Oh, no, no, but, no, no. I like, do it partially.
Todd, I love you, but.
Well, no, the reason I call in, and I do it sparingly, maybe four times a year, but the reason I call Washington Journal, first of all, it's got to be a topic that moves me, but I like cracking up the host because he knows where I'm coming from, and I know that it pisses off the peons out there in Podunk, you know? It just riles them up to a rich lather, richer than Prill Emerald Green shampoo lather. And I love doing that. That's just, I need to call.
Well, you see, that's, you know what? It's an American experience because you never, you'll have 20 just crazy. It's like coffee. What do I need coffee for now? My God, I'm just hyped up. These people are insane. And then you'll get two or three people like, oh my God, that's a professor. I can tell by the way they're talking. They're not working, or they're working from home today, you know, to offer some clarity to an issue. But, you know, okay. Well, but it's just unbelievable, man. These folks with this Durham report, right, that came out.
Oh, Jesus.
That's just fodder.
Nitwit Nero's been losing his mind over it. And it
does that guy look to you like a Civil War reenactor on the wrong side? That Durham, that little goatee. You can see him in a Johnny Rebel cap and a gray outfit.
Yeah, his little Johnny Reb Keppy cap. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but the John Durham thing is it's hilarious because when John Durham himself has to come out and say, no, the shit that Nitwit Nero's talking, and then went so far as to say it, I mean, you have to love it. He filed that thing, and Nitwit Nero thought it was a big deal. And over at the New Republic, Michael Tomosky said, the right wing media took it all out of context, and he said, Fox News and the rest of the right wing media, not to mention Trump himself and his Republican cultists, are out of their minds. And then added in a little detail. He said, let me explain. Durham issued a filing earlier this month that seemed to suggest to people who can't read that the Hillary Clinton campaign was spying on the Trump campaign. The New York Post went with Hillary the spy on its cover. Fox went berserk. Trump suggested some Clinton aides deserve to be executed. No, really. Jim Jordan, R. Berchtesgaden, that was art, echoed the sentiment. He wrote, it's all fiction, straight out of the Joseph Goebbels School of Political Communication. If you're doing X, setting fire to the Reichstag, say, or cooperating with the Kremlin to win a presidential election, you accuse your opponent of doing the thing you're doing. And, the fact that, The fact that, you know, he basically said, and Steve, you know what legal language is like. He used fancy legal language to say these people are nuts. Because they are. But, yeah, he does. He looks like a... Yeah, he looks like a... You know, he's probably like a Confederate major.
What's his first name?
John Durham. This John is the guy that Bill Barr.
Durham sounds like it.
This is the guy that Bill Barr to prosecution assigned to investigate the investigation of Nitwit Nero.
And don't forget his first duty. Oh, he took it seriously. He went into the salt mine. He had to go over to southern Italy just to do this investigation.
His first duty? God. He took a duty in southern Italy? He went clear to Italy to go to the bathroom?
Yeah. That after the wine bar, sure. No,
yeah, he went to Italy. So. He went to Italy to get some of that lotion that Donnie likes.
Oh, you mean the emollient? Big bottle of emollient?
It's the same stuff that Hannibal Lecter used to put on his hands. Come on, everybody knows this.
Oh, let's not go with the Silence of the Lambs references. That's a freaking triggering. You know, for the longest time, the only trans people who showed up in film were, you know, serial killers and psychos. I mean, literally, the movie Psycho.
Well, that too.
Right.
Norman?
Yes, Mother Bates. Yeah, Tony Perkins, Jesus. Head of the Family Research Council. And God, what you mentioned the lady with the voice and
Patty, her name's Patty.
Yeah. Well, I remember for years and years and years we referred to Alex Jones as the shame love child of Selma Diamond. I know. Well, 20 after. I got to get out of here. For the overnight crew, if you're listening, you know, we're running downhill to the end of February, and we badly need to end it. Okay, month by month by month. It's hard, I know. But if we could knock out some of that $270 so we're not looking at $570 tomorrow, that would be extremely helpful.
So, and come on, where else do you get content like this? Nowhere. Nowhere.
Zebrafish on acid, that's all I've got to say.
And I where tip else my you rabbit ears. I tip my rabbit
where else
ears
are you going to learn about Robin, the spinach inquisition?
To you, Robin, to Steve, and to Todd. Because this is a Monday evening zoo crew, is what this is.
Kind of, yeah.
Are you going to sing Hunter Biden or what?
Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden. The Benghazi of our time. We will hear about Hunter Biden till we're all fit to lose our mind.
Once again, with feeling.
No. No, let's not turn this into a 200 bottles of beer on the wall, please.
Uh-oh.
Or what's that called when people sing a song and they sing it at different times?
Around.
Yes.
Around, yeah.
Like for
yeah, I always get I always get lost in Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
You can dormay go if you want, but don't get any
on
me.
Everybody take care.
Y'all be good. We'll talk soon.
Have a good night, y'all.
Later. And so there goes more in Monday, and we had plenty of them. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room earlier. Thank you. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. By the way, I'll be subbing for Malloy Thursday and Friday. Looking forward to it. Hope you are too. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Maintain your social distance. You know, let's stay safe until the next variant comes out. What do you say? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And, well, have a wonderful evening. And if somebody comes toward you, you know, saying something like, I'm glad that Joy Behar's going to keep her mask on. Keep her ugly mouth shit. Avoid, or a woman comes. I don't know why they keep saying I'm crazy. Can I tell you about the Jewish space lasers? Avoid that person like the plague, because she is. Later.